Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Over the line!
Huh?
You were over the line. That's a foul.
Mark at 8, dude.
Excuse me. Mark at 0 next frame.
Mark at 8, dude.
This is not NOM. This is bowling. There are rules.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Paul Perillo.
He lives in North Hollywood on Radford near the In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, the In-N-Out Burger's on Camrose.
Near the In-N-Out Burger.
Those are good burgers, Walter.
Shut the f*** up, Donnie.
And Andy. And Andy?
You figured, oh, here's a loser, you know? A deadbeat. Somebody the square community won't give a s*** about.
Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Andy Hart.
What the f*** is with this guy? Who is he?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
He's got emotional problems, man.
You mean beyond pacifism?
He's fragile. Very fragile.
I did not know that.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What are you talking about?
All right. All I know is that I ordered a turkey with lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise from D'Angelo's, and I got a turkey with bacon on wheat.
That's intense.
I don't know how
that's the smart listeners you have, Fred.
No, they
screwed it up.
You suck.
No, you called
I'll show
it in,
you
didn't
you? The email. People you suck. Don't know how to place orders.
You suck.
Go screw yourself.
You suck.
Wow. Three gender, a little touchy today.
So
huh?
are we going to have to like send you over with the order from now on?
I think we'll probably each have to place our own orders. If you guys want to do it correctly, then place your own individual.
If you're standing in front of the counter and give the order. And
we'll
then
have to take a field trip to D'Angelo's.
And then, yeah. And
Paul,
then you
spider's
can,
a little
and then
testy
you can check it before you leave.
Yep.
Hey, Greasy Hair, are you sulking today? Are you upset?
No, we just have incompetent people that listen to the show and place orders.
Wait
and
a
then
minute.
You guys get mad at me.
I totally disagree. And I personally, I'm more than happy.
Competent we're going to yell at the people who are giving
I'm
us
I'm more than
sustenance.
Happy with the people that provide
well,
us
Well, don't
lunch.
Get mad at me then.
Well, I'm going to get mad at you.
Why are
you take shots at our listeners that buy us lunch, I'm going to get mad at you.
It's never the listener's fault, just so you know.
Never.
Right. Never the listener's
customer,
fault.
Dan, 2G, listen to me. The customer
Leinart.
Is always right. The customer is always right.
And don't forget that old Irish saying.
And in your world, in your world, you have the listeners are your customer, and we're mm-hmm. your customer. So we're always right, and the customer's always that only leaves one person who
so
can't
I'm
be right.
Wrong?
That's you. And you're always wrong.
'Tis always the poor carpenter who finds fault with his tools, me friend.
How about that?
Eric's on the show today, as you can All right. Well, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's another week in paradise here at Gillette Stadium. We're waiting for another foot of snow. Not happy about that.
So we're not coming in tomorrow, Fred?
Yeah, Eric comes in and goes, huh, what do you say, Wednesday, snow day? What the hell
he
does
goes,
that
we got
mean?
A snow day tomorrow.
Did you play
huh?
hooky
what,
yesterday?
You think you're in third grade?
It's like he has an exam tomorrow or something.
You get picked up by the bus every morning?
Short one?
Yeah, the short bus.
Hey, should I be offended?
Although, in all seriousness, Fred, if we get bombarded pretty good.
Should I be offended? Every day I drive my kid to school, you know,
I'd be offended.
I'm leaving anyway.
Yes, if I were you, I'd be
today
offended.
He goes, I want to take the bus.
Yes.
That's kind of how we feel,
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah, there's something going on.
We want to take the bus.
He's at an age where he doesn't want his father dropping him.
Yeah, but after all this time,
well, how old
January.
Is he?
How
old is
he? He's 13.
Maybe he took some ribbing for the past
few
months.
No, there's either some girl on the bus that he's after or something. But, I mean, why now? It's the middle
maybe,
of the school year.
Well, maybe he just found out about the girl recently.
Yeah, you may have just right. answered your question.
Right. Could be a girl. Yeah. Right. I'm hoping. Hoping it's not me.
It could be you.
You know, because.
It could be you, too.
You know, who the hell chooses the school bus over, you know, the Cadillac?
The caddy. The chauffeur.
Does he sit in the back?
No. That would be taking it a little too far. All right, what's going on, guys? We're here at Gillette Stadium. It's another edition of PFW in Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We already have a slew of emails that have come in.
It's Media Day.
It is Media Day down at the Super Bowl, which means there are all kinds of nonsense.
Well, maybe less nonsense. You were just talking about that.
Did you think there would be less nonsense? I thought there might be fewer people there, but based on some of the overhead shots that Andy was just looking at, it looked like there were a lot of people there.
I don't know if there might be, but I'll tell you what NFL.com is doing on their website and what the other teams are doing on their websites is not half as good as what we did on our website last year.
Well, that goes without saying. I can't imagine that Media Day would be bigger this year than it was for our Super Bowl last year. I mean, you had a team that was going to go undefeated versus a team from the New York market.
Right.
I don't know how you could possibly have gotten a bigger
except that maybe
draw than
Florida
that.
Is a better destination than Arizona.
Arizona was really good.
But for me,
well, where are they now? Tampa.
Tampa. I'm not talking necessarily about the matchup. I'm talking about the economic times. I would think eliminated at least a good portion of fringe kind of media. Yeah. You know, papers that were on the fence and didn't have a team involved. Maybe, hey, let's save a few bucks. We don't need to be down there all week and doing this kind
like
of stuff.
El Mundo.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking maybe if it were a better matchup, maybe if it were more a marquee matchup, maybe some of them might have said, you know what? It's worth it. Who knows?
I mean, we're looking at a shot right now on the NFL Network, and it looks about the same.
There's a lot of people down there, yeah. I thought there would be fewer, but it doesn't look it.
Yeah.
It looks like the same stuff that we put up with the four times we were all down there. Well, you guys were all down there. I was down there.
Media Day, the first day that we were there, was really exciting. It was cool. My God, is it old now?
Yeah.
I mean, not to sound jaded or anything, but it's the same thing every year. I mean, NFL should do something different to liven it up.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question, like what?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, maybe some cheerleaders out there or, you know, something, you know?
Yeah.
It's just,
well, but it's not for...
Why, your microphone's buzzing. Why is it buzzing? Is it connected?
We had Pickler last year.
The microphone doesn't like him either.
Right?
Oh. You're
just full of him today, huh?
Yeah. He's full of something.
I mean, you're the producer. Do you know how to fix anything?
Do you check the equipment?
Do you check the equipment? Do you run tests?
Do you put the amount of effort into that you do putting our order together?
One phone call. I think we need to make the phone call, guys.
I don't have his number, though.
I do.
You do?
His email. I have all his contact info if we need to get in touch with him. Is it better? I fiddled with some.
Yeah, that is better.
Okay. I did Dan's job for him. What were we talking about?
We had Pickler last year. Did that liven it up? It livened it up for
me.
Wish
I had Pickler last year.
Ooh.
Hey, now.
But I do have photos. We used to have photos.
Yeah.
What happened to all the photos?
I don't know.
The dumbass took them down, I'm sure.
He's going to come in and yell at you.
All right, now Three, Steve Mariucci is yelling.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's not really for the local media.
No.
I mean, it's for people covering the Super Bowl and everybody, you know, all those columnists to write some. It's not for the people day-to-day who cover the teams. It's an event. It's a overrated event.
But I notice on the NFL.com they have the multiple views now. You can choose the view that you want on Media Day, kind of like what we did last year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the different cameras.
They get that idea from us?
We both did it last year for the first time.
We did that?
Yeah, we did it too. So, but
I had a colonoscopy.
But I mean, obviously, they're looking at, you know, we're hoping people come to NFL.com on Media Day. So why not do something special on Media Day? I don't know what it is. I haven't really given it much thought to it other than Media Day is getting stale.
I just don't know what you could really do and maintain it as Media
Day. Well, you got your two teams. Maybe in between the teams, there's a concert or something. Or I don't know, maybe the media gives out its awards. The AP gives out awards between the two teams or something, or, you know, some other reason to have Media Day other than...
Giving out the awards is not a terrible idea. A live presentation of the AP instead of doing it the week leading up to, as they've done.
Yeah.
That's not of course, it doesn't really involve the teams, but it would add some...
The media's all gathered interest. In one place, okay?
Not a terrible
idea. What do we do, you know, with this? How do we leverage the media all being in one place in a friendly environment, upbeat, you know, it's kind of loose. How do we leverage that?
It's beyond what it was supposed to be. I mean, it's designed for writers to get quotes, for sound bites, video.
But they do that all week.
No, I know, but now it's like it's become an event that you're trying to spice up. Well, it was never meant to be an event. It was meant to kind of function.
I know, but now it is.
I'm wondering if it was always like the way it is now all week. You know, where you have all of those different days that...
Right. Because you know, basically, we get full access to everybody
every day
yeah. until, what, Friday.
Right.
You know, so I'm wondering if it was always like that or if the media day served as the day you got all your quotes because you had everybody available. Because you're right, Andy, I think you made the comment that it's not really for the local media. And I don't go to any of the podiums generally. I mean, once in a while, you might be looking for something specific, so you go to a podium. But the players that are sitting in the stands... Or even more so, to me, the assistant coaches that yep. you don't have access to.
Or executives.
That are sitting in the stands. I hadn't really no interest in that.
The owners, the executives,
the owners, the coaches. Well, the owners, certainly. But, you know, we were a little bit different in that. We work here with the Crafts. But the assistant coaches we never get access to. I think I wrote my main story last year off of stuff with the assistant coaches. We just don't get that kind of a chance to talk to those guys.
And they have some great stories, too, most of them. So it's a good opportunity. You know, they're in an environment where they know they have to be there. They have to talk for a certain amount of time, and they're more willing to do it at that point. So that's worth it for us.
Now, there's a guy that's made for this day. That's Deion Sanders working for NFL Network right now. He's a guy that could make something out of the media day.
He wants it to be about him.
But he has such a presence, though. I mean, you know, and a personality on camera. He's a guy that doesn't – it wouldn't be stale with him doing it.
I'm surprised he has time between this and working with Michael Crabtree.
That's true.
Where's he got the time to do this?
See, but that's the difference. Michael Crabtree wants it to be about him. It is about Deion. It always has been. It always will be. You know, on the NFL Network, when he's at the corner of 21st and prime time, there's no act there. He's not trying to be anything. He is who he is. I got no problem with a guy like that being a natural. I do have a problem with this, though, the NFL Network taking over the event and becomes one-on-one interviews for TV rather than a press conference.
Right.
Not a big fan.
Just a little bit about Tampa. Some info in case you're planning to go down later in the week or you're already there and you're listening now. According
to
strippers, there are 43 strip clubs in the Tampa metropolitan area.
And they are not hiding that fact, I read.
No.
Like the Tampa Tribune put together a full list of the strip clubs and... You know, the cover charges and hours and all that. And
they
are not
the local economy.
Yeah, they are going to take any money they can get. And if it comes via strip clubs, they're going to take it.
Okay.
Paul, you have a favorite. You've had many great nights at Mons Venus, correct? Sorry, did I catch you with a mouthful?
Well, the rules in Tampa.
That's why it was
changed.
A great night at Mons Venus.
You know, the rules in Tampa used to be much looser. It used to be full contact in Tampa. And they changed that rule.
Yes. Mons Venus and Space Odyssey or something like that, 2001, something like that. I forget.
Well, those are right near the stadium.
They're right by the stadium, and they are excellent. Excellent.
And I'm not sure they've tightened it up.
Now, I used to go to school at the University of Tampa. Did you know that?
Oh, Christ.
I did.
Now he's wondering if there's a bar on some bridge or something, Crab Shack.
I'm very familiar with Dale Mabry Avenue and all the whereabouts there.
That's where the Bucks are.
That's
right?
Where the those clubs are.
Right.
Right on Dale Mabry, I believe.
Yep. So spent some few.
And I would bet anything.
Yeah.
That strippers is intimately aware of those clubs.
Oh, he's the one that just sent us the.
No, I know, but I bet you he.
Oh,
these
sure.
two specific ones.
Oh, sure.
Mons Venus and
involved
in
somehow.
Space.
You mean?
Oh, yeah.
Management wise,
I'm sure that he has some talents that has.
All right.
Worked in those places.
Well, let's get to some Patriots stuff. We can still talk about Super Bowl, of course, and Media Day, and the Cardinals, and. And who are they playing?
They're
the Steelers.
Who are they playing? Fred.
You think so?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
What makes you say that?
It's my reaction, my pick.
Okay.
I think the Cardinals offensive line is going to handle that pass rush of Pittsburgh. Warner's going to throw to Bolden and Fitzgerald.
It would be quite a story.
They're going to get
did.
Up on top early, and they're never going to look back.
But as far as the Patriots go, no real news this week. You know, there has been no official announcement of, let's say, Nick Caserio being elevated. That hasn't been announced. A lot of talk about Bill O'Brien, though, being, you know, the quarterback's coach now and speculating about what other roles he might have and who might be doing some of the offensive coordinator work. Another story, and of course this isn't official, but that Bill Belichick will be doing more of the offensive coordinating this year. We don't know that for sure.
Not specifically with with that aspect of it, with, you know, what the actual responsibilities are going to, because I don't think that Bill ever really tells us whose responsibility is what. But are you surprised that there have been no announcements made, no official announcements from the team on stuff that has been reported about now going on 2+ weeks with Scott O'Brien, for example, special teams coordinator, Bill O'Brien's move from wide receivers to quarterbacks? We still don't know that to be certain,
no,
according to the team. Now, we've read all the reports, and we all believe them to be accurate.
Maybe they're Maybe they're waiting for everything to shake out and make one big announcement.
Don't they generally do that with the coaching staff?
I don't really recall a year like this where they had so many departures.
I'm pretty sure when they've had multiple, it's always one release. Or not always, but has been one release where it lists boom, 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 these are the whatever.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think they've done that in the past. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they do again. I also wouldn't be surprised if they never do anything and you show up at training camp kind of wondering who's doing what.
No, I think they'll make an announcement probably early February, once all of this stuff shakes out, after the Super Bowl, after the Pro Bowl, when
whatever they do, they'll claim that they always do it that way.
Mm-hmm. By the time we get to the combine, I'm saying we'll know. There'll be
you like that, huh, Fred?
I do. more. I like your attitude. When you say disgust.
I wasn't necessarily disgusted. That's just what they do.
Who's they?
The organization at large, PR. Coaching, whatever they do, this is the way we always do it. No matter what they do, it's the way they always do it. Then you look back and you're like, well, actually, when Brady signed his contract extension, we not only announced it, but we put a press release out as we were leaving for a preseason game. Well, so sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
But we all feel like they have to hire somebody, right? In all likelihood.
For
something.
For something.
Well, what?
That everybody leaves, that they can't just promote Shane Waldron and Kevin Bickers and whoever the...
I think they had three guys last year. I think Brian Flores
and
Waldron and
Shane Waldron
and Bickers.
Josh Boyers.
I think Boyer. He was in personnel. One of those two. Either Bickers or Boyer was in personnel.
Not Bicker about it.
Last year, but he has been a coaching assistant. They can't just promote all three of those guys and make one of them the tight ends coach, one of them the wide receivers coach, and one of them the secondary. I mean, can that happen?
I don't think so.
I don't think they can do that.
Well, I can't imagine that all three, and this is no shot at any of them, is ready or worthy.
Well, that's
or,
my point.
I mean, maybe one or two of them are, but you're going to tell me that one of those three isn't quite ready, and Mike Vrabel's not going to say, what the hell's going on around
and
here? I'm a veteran, and they're just promoting kids out of high school to be my coach.
But more than likely, at least one of those guys probably will get a promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Just to let the listeners know what we're talking about, these are guys that in New England, they refer to them as coaching assistants. I think what they are at large around the NFL is more what a lot of teams call quality control coaches, where they do a lot of preparation work, scouting work. They chart plays, formations, and whatnot in preparation for the upcoming opponents. But in New England, they're not necessarily given official titles, and they're not really officially part of the coaching staff, although they are. They travel to every game. They do all the work and blah, 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 blah. That's what Josh McDaniels was. That's what Brian Daboll was. That's what Matt Patricia was. Mm-hmm. These guys kind of rode that same track from
coach. That's what Eric Mangini was in Cleveland.
Coaching assistants. Yeah, absolutely. Coaching assistants. They become positional coaches. And that's kind of the track favorably for Bill Belichick.
If you do well in that job. It's not like it's a, we're going to relegate you to this.
It's looked upon as a
step in the ladder.
It's Bill starting you on his track,
uh-huh.
the same track he rode. And if you do the right thing, mm-hmm. he keeps you on his track, which is assistant position coach, special teams coach. I mean, there's a whole right
all
on up the truck.
Yep.
As long as you continue to impress him with the duties that you're given. But I was asking because Eric and I were talking about this. Did you see, it seems like continuity, which has always reigned in New England, has now become the norm a lot of places. We saw it with Baltimore keeping Rex Ryan, and Harbaugh wanted to maintain continuity. Well, they've done it again. They promoted their linebackers coach to coordinator after 1 year. He's been a linebackers coach in the NFL for 1 year. Other than that, he was a college coach, assistant head coach, defensive line, defensive coordinator. And I just feel like all of a sudden it's become continuity reigns supreme no matter what. If you're not experienced, well, we'll see what we can do. At least we won't have to change anything.
You know, I don't know what I found funny. This is kind of off topic of what specifically we're talking about here. But I noticed that the special teams coach in Baltimore is referred to as a special teams coordinator. You know, we've talked about that, how Brad Sealy always, you know, and Belichick always calls it a special teams coordinator. Baltimore, John Harbaugh,
right,
who was a special teams coach for a long time, I bet that's not a coincidence that in Baltimore they call it a special teams coordinator. I was looking up because they were talking about one of the questions for Ask PFW was wondering the Patriots coaching staff is smaller than everybody else's and why that is. And really that's not necessarily the case. It's about the same size. And it's the reason that you think it's smaller is what I just talked about. Those coaching assistants here have official titles of quality control coaches most other places. And I would say on average, I looked up about 8 teams. Everybody has between 15 and 20 coaches. The Patriots had 16 last year, if you count the coaching assistants. So I think they're probably about average with everybody else. There were a couple that had 20. I think Denver and someone else had 20 coaches. San Diego and Baltimore had 16. So I didn't get anybody with more than 20 or anybody with less than 15.
Right.
Okay. And I mean, I looked up 8. I didn't look up every team, but I think the Patriots coaching staff, the size of the Patriots coaching staff is probably in line with everybody else.
Okay. What else are we talking about here today, guys?
What else?
Anything?
Are we out of topics already?
No, I just want to get everything out on the table before we start diving deeper into what we've already talked about.
Well, there was some good stuff out of Super Bowl week this morning.
By the way, before you get it, we have a kid in our legal department.
You ask a question, and then you start to answer, and he interrupts.
We have a kid in our legal department named Alex who is pretty separated at birth to the governor of Illinois, you know, Blagojevich.
Blagojevich?
Yeah. Don't you think so?
Yeah, right.
Now that you mention it, I can kind of see it. But
a kid?
Yeah,
a little disrespectful there.
He's not really a kid.
Well, he's a young guy.
He's got to be late 30s.
Yeah.
He's
probably no way.
He's probably not that
young. Well, he's got that young face, just like Blagojevich.
Blagojevich. I love it.
Oh, did we talk
that
about
that guy's the most obnoxious bastard on the planet, is he not?
Alex is a nice kid.
No, no.
Kid. You just like
the governor.
A wrestler. You got your wrestlers stick together.
He wants to put the singlet on.
His singlet still fits, unlike Fred's.
He's insane. The governor is. He's insane. Did we talk about Mangiarian, perhaps? He got asked.
I believe we did talk about that last week, but we should mention that again.
Yeah. I believe it's official. He went to Tampa.
Yeah, I don't know if he...
Is he dead?
Is that official? He is no longer...
Today's clips.
He is no longer
officially
here.
Announced as a Tampa coach.
Okay. He is no longer here, so if it's official, that makes sense.
So Pete Mangiarian, who was the tight ends coach, is now going over to Tampa with Raheem Morris.
You know,
feelings?
Can I play the role of Fred Kirsch? Yes, I do, to answer your question. I think that he probably realized he wasn't a candidate for the offensive coordinator position, but I want to play the role of Fred Kirsch.
Go home. Good luck with that in Tampa.
Now that he's no longer on our coaching staff, can I criticize him?
Sure.
Okay, good. For a guy who coached 3 or sometimes 4 players at a time, why was he like one of the loudest voices on the field all the time?
I think he was trying to get noticed.
Exactly. I think he was an FROD fraud.
Really?
I do. That's very Fred Kirsch. Like, he's no longer a member of the Patriots organization. He's out, baby.
He was a loud voice at practice.
Yeah, I just think he was always yelling. I just think he was a lot of bluster. And some of those quotes from Dan Reeves, did you read it in the Sunday paper 2 weeks ago? I think John Tomasi had a nice update, some nice back. He was looking for the offensive coordinator, and he talked about O'Brien, and he talked about O'Brien's background at Georgia Tech, and George Godsey was the quarterback at the time. He later followed that up with some stuff from George O'Leary and some others. And then he went to Mangiarian and talked about Dan Reeves, who he was the one year he was offensive coordinator was for Reeves in Atlanta.
And everywhere he went was with Reeves half the time.
And Reeves said that if you don't want to work, this is not your guy. If you're a player and you don't want to put in the time, then Pete Mangiarian is not going to have any use for you. And he sort of talked about how he could be tough to get along with because of that. But every quote that he had, every quote that Reeves had, I think he was trying to be complimentary, but I think it was coming off as, wow, that's the guy I don't know Pete Mangiarian personally. I've never spoken to him, but every time I see him and interact with him, you know, and I'm somewhere where he's interacting with people, my impression.
He's very
abrasive.
Yeah.
And everything that Dan Reeves was saying was sort of like, yeah, I could see that. He is tough to get along with. I'm just looking at him in the field with 3 guys that he coaches, and he's yelling and screaming like a raving lunatic.
And even off the field, you know, when you see him just passing in the halls or whatever, he has that serious demeanor to him all the time. I think that was another thing Reeves mentioned too, was when when Manjurian first came here, he was saying, you know, I can see that working because he's a guy that Bill's not going to have to worry about him staying late or doing the extra things because he lives it. That's
well,
what
I've noticed a couple
him,
times you know. In the team plane he looks back at us with disdain, but then again, so does everyone on the team plane. So
how did you notice that? Josh McDaniels doesn't do that. Didn't do that.
Yeah. Well,
he just comes over and talks to Andy, and Andy says, "Why are you? What did I do?
What did I do?"
And I'm like, Andy, you wrote a nice story about him.
Waka 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 waka. And that was before the colonoscopy. There's no excuse for that one.
Not there anymore.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. We have all that and your emails coming up.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multigrain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 in the morning if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get to your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you could do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
off.
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right. Yes, we are getting ready. How's the practicing going?
Well, I haven't really been able to go on the field because we have a foot and a half of snow still on the ground.
Rent some indoor space.
Rent some indoor space.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
I need a raise to rent indoor space.
You can't go out there and just,
Fred, you just go out to the beautiful,
make a fool of yourself.
Fred, oh, that's not going to happen.
Field house.
What? Oh, that's not going to happen,
no.
He says.
No, but I'm doing what I can. Right now?
Which is nothing.
Stretching? Leg exercises?
Does anybody want this other Coke?
No lubricants.
No, go ahead, Paul. Watch it, though.
Don't worry. I'll be ready.
Careful.
I'll be ready to go when the time comes.
Are you driving?
I asked if you wanted it.
No, you go ahead. Because
I know it's Coke. I know that's your favorite.
I want you to be careful, though. Should you get behind any
Why do we not have Pepsi, by the way?
Yeah, that's another thing. You got Coke.
He just throws his hands up.
Incompetent listeners.
If you keep that up, I'm telling you right now, you can be replaced.
Easily.
You have to make sure that they have the right
Replace
order.
Replace me.
He doesn't need to keep that up.
Replace me. He's calling your bluff.
As my college baseball coach said to the third baseman, I could put a 150-pound sack of horse bleep there and do the job that you've done today, Doug.
I don't weigh 150.
I was going to say, that's about 30 pounds too heavy.
Point taken.
That's a true story, by the way. Three errors in the first three innings.
Oof.
I could put a 150-pound sack of horse bleep there and do the job you've done so far, Doug.
Wow. Not the kind of economy you should be throwing phrases like that around, though, either, three-gender. Yeah.
Replace me?
Yeah.
There's 1,000 resumes en route already.
Yeah, that's bad news yesterday, huh?
78,000 or something.
A lot of jobs. Those are just the ones reported. I'm sure there's more
than
that.
I just bought a bunch of stuff from one of those Home Depot Expo centers.
Oh, really?
And something's got to go back. I'm a little concerned about that.
It's not like they're not going to take it back. They're not shutting down. They're just laying some people off.
The 34 of them are shutting down, closing within the next 2 months. So I don't know if that particular one is shutting down.
Now there's another one around somewhere.
And does that really surprise you, though?
What?
They're everywhere.
Home Depot,
yeah,
they might have.
No, this a little oversaturated. This isn't Home Depot. This is like these
expo centers.
That they have.
But Home Depot laid off people too.
But it's sort of an offshoot of the.
But I don't
parent
think closing. I don't think they're closing Home Depots.
No, but they're laying people off.
Yeah,
and it's obviously when no one's building houses, it cuts down on the need for all that crap.
Yeah, but at these times, aren't a lot of people doing it themselves? And don't you need those do-it-yourself centers?
True, but maybe. I just think the market's oversaturated with these big box stores.
Yeah.
They're just too many of them, too close to each other, you know?
See, I agree. I have an idea.
Drive an extra 5 minutes, you can go to the next
one. There are a lot of Home Depot.
Is this your bad Walmart idea?
Yeah, no, that's a good Walmart idea. The idea is this. You know, in these times, Walmart is actually doing well. Because people have to buy this stuff from somewhere, and Walmart has the lowest prices. So if I was Walmart, I mean, Walmart.
He's like an ad
now.
Guarantee. Rolling back the prices.
Walmarts are pretty much everywhere. You know, they're within driving distance of pretty much everyone. But sometimes, like for pharmaceuticals or everyday needs, you might go to a place that's closer just because you don't want to go all the way to Walmart. If I was Walmart, I would buy or lease some of these empty stores that have been vacated, smaller stores, just lease them and put my everyday products in there. So make them like kind of Walmart satellite stores. You still have the best pricing. Now you're making it so easy for the consumer that why would you go any other place but Walmart to get your everyday items?
I don't like Walmart.
I don't either, but
I won't go.
But let's face it. I mean, in these times, you got to go with the best price.
Remind me to tell you, I got another fight, by the way, over the weekend.
Oh. In Walmart?
No.
Oh.
No, he doesn't go to Walmart.
Fuddruckers.
Fuddruckers.
Somebody took his pickle.
Somebody took too much time at line, you know?
Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was just going to say, when did Walmart start becoming a grocery store, too? I saw a commercial the other day, and they're touting produce and such. Yeah. I mean,
well, they do have super Walmarts, too, that are supermarkets.
Yeah.
There's one in Florida.
Not
Amazon.
All of
Yeah,
them
we don't have them up here. Like, now they're retrofitting Walmart to have groceries, whereas down there, they're
oh,
like
there's a huge one
huge.
Right around the corner from my parents' house in Florida.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. Basically in the South. Yeah. And it's like a department store, a automotive store, a supermarket all in one building.
Yeah. It's every single store.
But around here, like the Dartmouth Walmart, they've added coolers, and now they're getting rid of the garden center, and they're making that food, and they're slowly going in that direction.
They're smart, because now...
Well, also, in my area, Target opened, and they had a lot of that in it when they built it brand new.
So they don't
want to
lose it.
So they have to compete.
Yeah. But I really think that that's what they should do. They should bring their products as close to the consumer as possible, and don't give people a choice. You know, you're just a dumb consumer if you don't buy it from us, because we have the same product for a lower price because of
too much cost.
I don't know.
Because you got to lease the property, you have to staff it, you have to ship the stuff to it, so you got to get everything.
No. You still use your main store as the shipping place, and then once a day you send
the truck
to your satellite
store. That's
still
additional.
Yeah, I guess.
And I don't think you'd get enough people. I think most people in this economy are like you. They're going to go to Walmart because they want the cheapest price, so they're going to go that extra 5 minutes rather than the convenience.
So you don't think
they
need to do it, is what you're saying.
Right. I think the cost outweighs the value of it.
I just think they could corner the market, because now Walmart even has pharmaceuticals. for less than
$4 prescription.
Yeah. CVS and Walgreens and all
CVS
that.
CVS sucks. I hate CVS.
You know?
Now, who'd you get into a fight with?
Oh, the woman who took his pickle.
No, we go to Fuddruckers, which is not, you know, the fanciest place, right?
Oh, not
you
at
know,
all.
It's just, you know, kind of regular, you know, it's a hair above fast food. I mean, it's not
a hair?
It's a hair above fast food. Anyway, we sit down. It's a little crowded. Beth takes the kids. We find, like, these three tables that are together. And there's four of us, so we only really use two of the tables. But there's another table here. Finally find one that's clean. So Beth sits them down. I go up to get, you know, a bunch of the condiments. I come back. Right across the aisle, there were three more tables next to each other. And these people sit down. They take the, you know, the empty trash that was on the table. They put it on the third table that we're sitting at. So I come back over, and I see the stuff, and I look at Beth. I go, can we sit at a dirty table? She goes, oh, no, they decided to put their trash on our table. I go, oh, really? And I get up, and she looks at me like with that look like,
oh, no,
don't do it.
Oh, no, I mean, that's sad.
So I picked up the stuff, and I go, here you go.
You dropped this.
Yeah. I go, here you go. Did you leave this over here on our table? And she gives me this look, and I didn't even wait for a response. I just took it up and dropped it in. Because like, right. They have busboys that come around, and right. I just dropped it in the thing. I go, thanks. I appreciated that. So I didn't really get in a fight, but I embarrassed some people for being rude.
Well, yeah. You should have left
you were
it
in
on
the
her
right
table.
This time. You should have thrown it.
Oh, she wasn't at a table when you did it?
What? Oh, what? I wasn't at the table when they left the stuff at my
No, but the lady wasn't at a table that you brought it up to. What I'm saying is, why didn't you just dump it on her table? Why did you bring it up?
Because I was just kind of proving a point and making her look like a fool.
I would have put it on her table. Said, I embarrassed you left this on our table.
That's what I said. I go, here you go. You left your trash on my table.
But you threw it away for them.
Before I even waited.
Threw it away
before I even waited for an answer, I just went. It was like right from here to.
Yeah, but it made you the bigger person. That's not a good story. It's better if you throw it in her face.
I want a food fight.
Well, I didn't want to
start a food fight.
I didn't
want to
start a fight. But the best part was that TJ had an absolute meltdown. He was ridiculously out of control for like 10 minutes. So they had to eat their dinner right next to my son, throwing his sippy cup across the table, firing fries at
will. He was sticking up for his old man.
That's right.
He was doing his
part. Wanted to fight.
He did.
There you go.
He's a scrappy little SOB.
You shouldn't go out, though, a lot. You get into – you're very combative.
I'm volatile. You are volatile. Yeah, can I tell you, I have about as many confrontations in my 40 years. I mean, I haven't really been in a fight since the third grade.
Have you noticed it always seems to be with older women, too?
Yeah. Well, this was a mix of men and women.
Well, my problem lately, and you know, I'm not to the point of road rage yet.
We see that
you're past the road rage.
I'm not to that point yet, but it just seems to me that every time I get out on the street, there's a car waiting in the woods, and they just come out and they go 20 miles an hour in front of me.
Waiting in the woods.
No matter where I go, this car will make a turn in front of me and go 20 miles an
hour. I would rather have someone fly by me going 95 and cut me off than have someone that flies out of a parking lot and then drives 10 miles
right.
an hour.
And even my kid notices it. Goes, Dad, you have the worst luck.
That's why I
taking
the bus
now. No matter where we go.
I have the worst
luck. So there's a car waiting in the woods.
I have the worst luck at the toll booth. I will pick the wrong line at the toll booth every single time.
Yeah.
The guy in front of me doesn't even have the window down when
he has
gets
100.
Up there.
He's trying to make change.
And then he doesn't have the money. And then he needs change. And then he needs directions. And meanwhile, everybody's going by on all the other sides.
Right.
Tobin Bridge, every time I go over the bridge. Unbelievable.
All right.
I don't get any fights up there, though.
On the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're great.
What's up, John?
Good. I'm wondering, with what looks to be a thinning coaching staff, we always hear about how McDaniels and even Mangini started out in sort of doing the grunt work, and you know, eventually Belichick likes to have them come up the ladder. I'm wondering who's doing the grunt work right now? Like, who are we going to be hearing about maybe in 6 years or whatever?
Well, the guys we talked about earlier, Shane Waldron is one of them. Josh Boyer and Kevin Bickers.
Oh, and Brian Flores.
And Brian Flores. There's four of them.
How do they find those guys? Are they, like, really smart young football people?
No.
I mean, how do they get the job? They just...
I mean, every team has them.
Yeah.
It's just the Patriots have a reputation for promoting them.
But like how do they get here? A lot of them are references from, you know, people who know people.
Josh McDaniels worked with Nick Saban at Michigan State, for example.
Right.
Brian Daboll also worked with Nick Saban at Michigan State. Obviously, Bill had a connection with Saban.
Having gone to, what's the academy?
Andover?
Andover doesn't hurt a lot of them.
Oh, that's Bill O'Brien.
It actually helps. It's also Shane Waldron, I believe. There's
oh, really?
A couple of them with Andover ties.
Yep.
So some of those, you know how it works. It's just like any other business. Somebody there knows Bill, and there's a connection, and, well, we got this guy. He's good young. He's into football. You know, they start out doing grunt work. It's not like they're handed the keys to the franchise.
Absolutely not. They earn their pay.
So if they move up,
what
it's
little
because,
it is.
Right. They earn it. Like Shane was in like operations first. Then he went to Notre Dame with Charlie. Now he's back as a coaching assistant. It's not, I mean, it's not necessarily the fast track to be, you don't just automatically become a head coach somewhere.
And it's hard work, by the way.
The only problem with it, and it's not just there, it's a lot of places that have like internships. Only kids that can afford it can do the internships.
Right.
You know, it really, you know, precludes kids that really need to make money to live
right.
from doing these types of door opening opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I that, you know, to me that's a problem.
It
I
is, but
that.
That's the way the whole world works.
I know
that's
it
not
is. It's all about access.
That's business. That's
it's about access.
Yeah, because this isn't the kind of job where you can say, "Oh, I'll do this and then I'll get like a side job on the weekends."
No,
you can't do that.
You can't.
There's no time.
There's no.
There's
time.
Absolutely no time.
You know, so it's unfortunate. You know, that's just my commentary there. What else, John?
Says the kid who summered on the Cape.
What are you talking about?
That's where he lives.
Summered on the Cape. I grew up there.
Oh, whatever.
You fool.
You fool.
I worked.
You fool.
You
sneak in to
fool.
Play tennis at the country club at night.
John, what else?
I don't know. I don't have anything else.
All right. See
All
you,
right.
John.
Hear your voices. See
John
you
in L.A.
Hey, that Fox News channel, do they have any unattractive females?
No, that's
no,
what they do
very,
now.
Very, very few.
Yeah, that's what they do now. That's why Eric watches.
God bless him.
That's really? One reason.
Eric's
not really.
Lots of tissues.
Is that a hair gel?
When did Eric become straight on this show? I thought his shtick was the gay guy.
No, he's
my shtick.
Eric is not.
He gave me that shtick.
It's somebody else's shtick.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he's as straight as an arrow.
Thank you, Fred.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going.
Oh, okay. Good.
Unfortunately, this arrow has a bow, and it's a guy.
I don't even know what it means.
You know, bow and arrow.
Bow as in, like, someone's first
B-E-A-U,
name.
B-E-A-U, the French guy.
Or a
or
bow.
B-O.
A bow. A bow as in a, you know what a bow
I
is.
I know what a bow and arrow is. I don't know how that means he's gay.
I don't
That's
either.
A biggest,
what are you talking about?
In the olden times, a woman would have her bow.
That's B-E-A-U.
Her, right,
yes,
her man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bow.
That's what I just said. I just said
I know
B-E-A-U, and you go, no,
it's
bow and arrow.
It's a pun, you idiot.
That's what he just said, and you said
There's
no.
There's your guy, Fred. Oh, Ooh. You missed him. John Lott, strength and conditioning coach, Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
He's the guy from the combine that you wanted to yell at or something.
How about that guy from the Ravens you found this morning, the strength coach?
John Mother Dunn.
Mother.
Yeah.
Mother
yeah.
is his nickname.
He was nicknamed after William Thomas Dunn, a famous Penn State – I mean, named after William Thomas Dunn, a famous Penn State football player.
Oh, so it's two words, Mother Dunn? Not
no, I don't know how you get named after somebody and take the last name.
Yeah.
And not the first.
We're thinking it's –
I didn't even pick up on that when you –
His name is John Dunn, and then in his media guide bio it says was named after William Thomas Dunn, mm-hmm. famous Penn State football player, 1908. And I'm thinking, his first name is different. How do you name somebody after a football player you like and give them the last name?
I had two reasons for it. One was it's
neither
a,
are good.
It's a Casey O'Connell type PR mistake.
That's a good one
by the Ravens PR department.
Wow. Yeah,
as Casey would say when you say that. Thanks for reading.
The other one is that the Dunn guy is actually his real father, and that's why he's named after him. And he didn't know who his mother was, so his friends teased him all the time and said, "You don't have a mother," so mother became his nickname.
Okay.
That's what we're going with.
Did you notice that Golden Corral is the presenting sponsor of Media Day?
Yeah.
We got tens of thousands of emails about that place, too, afterwards.
Is it good?
Speaking of that...
apparently not.
Let me read Anthony...
It doesn't really look good.
Anthony writes in, he says, in case you've heard by now, Golden Corral is a chain of restaurants that have a huge buffet, but also have a menu. It's good for a quick and somewhat cheap sit-down dinner, but it's far from a fancy night out. It's like Paul's night at Fuddruckers. The buffet...
Well, I think Fuddruckers is good.
Yeah, but it's very good.
It's a burger joint.
Some of the emailers were saying that it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's just a burger joint, though.
Yeah, but if whatever
you make your own burger.
Golden Corral does is as good as Fuddruckers does it, I'd be happy to eat there.
He says the buffet is the main thing, and they even have a decent breakfast buffet. You get a tray and order when you arrive. Then the wait staff comes around to bring you extra plates, drink refills, etc. I rarely go, It's been around North Carolina for years, but it isn't too bad a place. A step up from a place like Denny's, but closer to that level in terms of overall dining experience. Maybe the fact that the ones up there are new as opposed to the one near me will mean a better restaurant than I am used to it being. So there's the lowdown on the Golden Corral.
Sounds like a strip club.
It really does.
It could be.
Put your hands together.
They'd do more business maybe if they added that to the menu.
Legs and eggs.
I mean?
All you can eat.
Yep. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
You still pouting back there? Oh, wow.
I guess so.
Tucci just gave Eric the finger. So
we gave it the finger.
Mitch writes in. He says, what's up? Now I know everybody wants to keep on asking all the same questions about Tom in the quarterback situation. That's not my concern. My curiosity is, where is our offense at? I mean, we have proven that they can put points up there, no doubt. But do we not have to think about the future of our tight ends, wide outs, Wes and Randy? What else do we have? Really, what else do we have? Do you think they will grab any offensive picks in the draft?
Yes.
Can someone fly me down a Kelly's Revere roast beef with mayo cheese in a large clam box, please?
No.
Mitch is from Florida. Kelly's is a good place.
Outstanding. But in terms of the offense, I agree with Andy. I think that they will take a player or two.
Dan Klecko.
You know, rather early in the draft. I mean, I don't know if it'll be the first round pick, but I could see them taking a wide receiver, you know, with one of the second round picks, maybe, you know, third rounder. I don't know. I do think they need some depth there. I'm not overly concerned about any other spot really on offense. I think the quarterback situation is obvious. Running back, I think, is deep, even if Maroney doesn't pan out.
Yep.
I think if you see a sure thing offensive lineman, you take him. But otherwise, they got a
pretty good offensive line.
Yeah.
They have five starters they're probably pretty comfortable with. I wouldn't mind seeing a stud left tackle come along so you could move Matt Light to right tackle, for the latter portion of his career. Tight end, I just don't think the tight end is a huge part of the offense. I think he could do better than Watson, but
I think it would be if they had someone they could rely on.
You know, I think that they're fine with Moss and Welker for the short term. I think you need another wide receiver because I think Gaffney's better suited for the fourth slot than he showed last year. His numbers were virtually the same from last year from 07, but I think he was asked to do more last year and didn't do it.
Yeah, you cut out the 50 catches that Dante Stallworth had, 46 catches that Stallworth had, and he was supposed to pick up that slack and didn't. I mean, that's... I'll give PFW credit. That's another one we hit on. The more we saw of him, the more we saw him dropping balls. He still had some catches, but as his role expanded, you saw the good and the bad.
Yeah.
You all right there,
Andy? Doing that for the web.
Frog in my throat.
Chris Berman over there for a second.
And doing Eric's work for him for the web.
All right, Paul.
With the wide receivers. He had, I believe, two more catches. I think he had 38 catches as opposed to 36 from 07 for 14 more yards.
And a lot more drops.
And three less touchdowns. He had five touchdowns in 07, only two last year, and a lot of drops. I mean, probably close to 10 drops, I would say, for the course
and
of the
season. And
noticeable
ones.
Last year, bad ones.
Last year, he got noticed for making big plays
big
and limited
and
opportunities.
Big spots. Yeah.
This year, he was remembered for having big drops.
And so I think that his production was virtually the same, but yet he was both asked and called upon much more often this year and didn't deliver.
One was a very good year. One was a very bad year.
And as far as
the same numbers.
As far as tight end, it doesn't look like there's a heck of a lot on the market this year.
Free agency.
Everybody wants Bo Scaife.
LJ Smith is out there. He's a guy who's sort of
oft injured.
Up and down. Yeah, he's had an up and down
talented,
career.
But oft injured.
The rest of the names are, Justin Peele from Atlanta, maybe.
Nothing.
Leonard Pope, Arizona. I know that was your guy.
Pope is open to dope.
I think he's restricted, too.
He's only been in the league for 3 years.
He is. You know, it's just not a lot of names out there, so they might have to, if they want someone
in the draft.
We don't
want another underachieving Georgia tight end, anyway. Leonard Pope.
Haven't had too much luck in the draft with that regards.
Oh, I was going to defend Manjurian for you ripping him for always yelling. You'd be frustrated, too, if you were coaching that position.
I think he's yelling for show.
I know. I just want to take a shot at the position.
Webradiopages.com.
Are we off the Dave Thomas bandwagon?
No, I'm not. I think he just needs to be resurrected.
He's still resurrected. On the team, so I'd like him to be wrecked.
No,
Hold on.
He showed flashes. He just they forgot about him after the Colts game.
Well, do you think that was a situation where he got a dumb penalty and they just phased them out?
I can't.
That's a long part of the season to phase someone out.
I think maybe they did for a couple games, but then he didn't do anything to get back in practice or whatever. So
you think it was a coincidence that from the moment that play happened, he had a catch in every game, I believe, before that.
Yeah.
He was contributing.
And from that
a lot,
moment
yeah.
on, he did not have a catch.
Well, what did he have, like one again? I mean, he didn't
oh,
have
no,
a lot
he
of
didn't
catches.
Do my. He couldn't have had. I don't even think he had 10 catches.
I'm saying we all kind of thought if given the opportunity, he could be a security blanket, soft handed tight end.
Right.
And he hasn't.
I did.
He was injured for a while, and we use that as an excuse.
But he was healthy last year, and as a matter of fact, it was a healthy scratch
right.
in one game.
Yeah, let's see.
So I'm wondering
year.
If it's just he is what he is, and that's not an NFL caliber.
I missed on that one because I thought more of him. Maybe the injuries have sapped some of his athleticism, too. I don't know.
And he might have been a guy that didn't have much to be zapped.
Well, we'll see. Who bought lunch today, 2G?
John in South Carolina.
Okay, we love you, John. I have his email here. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Toasted
thank you,
Thanksgiving.
John in South Carolina.
Completely ignore that buffoon behind the glass who's been ripping you.
Thank you for the lunch
We
today.
Apologize for you having to deal with two-gender.
But anyway, John sends in an email, and he says, how does one become a scout? Do you start off coaching in high school, move up to college coaching, and specialize in scouting? Is it a step up the ladder to coach, or is that what they are studying in majors like sports management? I love evaluating talent, watching college football, and picking who is going to be good. I am not delusional and think I could do it as a professional, but I am curious to know how someone gets there.
Well, we kind of touched on it earlier. Part of it is you have to know people who are already in that line of work or in an NFL organization or even a college if you want to do some scouting for that. But I think it kind of depends on what you want to do. If you want to be like a GM type, I don't think you necessarily have to go into coaching at all. You can start as a scout, work your way up through personnel.
You can. There's different routes to be a GM. There's the financial management mm-hmm. route, and then there's the talent evaluation mm-hmm. route, like you're talking about.
And there are some guys, like I believe McDaniels, who've done both.
Yeah.
You work on both sides, and you can kind of decide as you go
but
if you want to do one.
I think
one,
for the most part,
the
you start as a young assistant. You do the grunt work, like Paul, making copies, mm-hmm. coming up with charts for them to get ready. And then they give you an assignment, and they say, here, go scout this high school or go scout this Division III college. And then they see how you do. And eventually because there's so much trust that's involved in scouting, you need to, get their trust that your evaluations are accurate.
Bill Belichick.
Because their jobs are riding on your evaluations.
I think Bill Belichick made a comment, and I think it was in regards to Jim Schwartz, who worked with him in Cleveland. I think it was around the time that he got his job and Schwartz was talking about Bill. But Bill said, most guys are either coaches or talent evaluators. The really special guys are guys that can do both. And I think that's a big part of it. But I do think there are a very specific talent. I think you could be a great scout and not know point one about how to coach.
Yeah.
So I don't think, to answer John's question, I don't think you necessarily need to be a high school coach and sort of, climb the ladder as a coach that way. If you think you're interested in this, I don't know if he's seriously interested in it or not, I would continue to evaluate college talent and beat the bushes and try to, send out resumes and whatnot. If you're already scouting college teams, put together some reports and send them to pro teams. They might look at it and say, hey, you know what? This guy out of nowhere sent us evaluations of these 10 guys, and they're right on with what we have. Maybe you might find someone. I mean, it's a long shot.
Yeah.
A ridiculous long shot.
Yeah, it's a long shot no matter what.
But I mean, if you don't have a background, like you said, Fred, if you don't know anybody to get in,
right,
you're dealing with a long shot. So you got to do something to get noticed. But I think that you could do it without any formal. You don't go to school to become a scout. You can do it without formal training.
I noticed that I had a, I could tell in Pop Warner whether a kid was going to be good or not.
I have no formal artistic training.
I have a good eye for talent.
Yeah.
At the Pop Warner level.
At the Pop Warner level.
John also says,
just so you know, if you could really do that, you could make a lot of money in this world. Because as talent moves down lower and lower, if you could go to the University of Florida and say, this guy right now is in sixth grade, he will be a University of Florida.
I'm talking about I can only tell if they were going to be good in
on that team.
Right.
On that team.
On that team.
But seriously, I mean,
my mother could probably accurately tell you which players were going to be good.
Generally,
that's the joke.
Generally, you walk on the field and go, oh, that's the one that's the best athlete on the field. That's 5 years ahead of everybody else.
That's what I call you, Paul Mother Perillo.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not a joke, Eric.
No.
Scalabino.
Don't do that, Fred. What? Don't do that.
Why?
Because it's
inaccurate.
Don't
you want to get back to your roots?
No, it's inaccurate.
He's really unhappy.
It's incorrect. Oh, yeah, listen to the pot calling the kettle black over there.
Yeah, but this was funny.
Scalavano.
Stop it.
Scalavano.
Thing on the scroll, Kevin Green has taken a job as the Packers' outside linebackers coach or linebackers coach. No interest.
Who?
For the same reason I have no interest in Michael Crabtree. I'm sorry, but a guy that dabbled in professional wrestling and has the long hair, I just don't picture in the morning sitting breaking down film to get ready for the next opponent. I'm sorry.
I love your things. You make fun of me all the time for this stuff.
Well, speaking of perception and appearance, our favorite quarterback today was in the Boston Herald with a picture from, was it Costa Rica? Where were
Mexico.
They?
I didn't see
Mexico.
Somewhere in Mexico.
Puerto Vallarta
with his lovely, who knows, fiance, girlfriend, wife.
Drew and Mauro are in Puerto Vallarta?
At this point, we don't know. But he was there on the beach with a little funky hat, and she was feeding him food.
And then she was laying very
unladylike. Andy is violently opposed. He does not like this whatsoever.
No.
Not that he's on vacation.
Right. Okay.
I just want to state that clear. This is the off season for players. That's when you go on vacation.
I would argue that people that are coming back from life threatening viruses might not have enough time to be on the beach in Puerto Vallarta.
But that's not the big problem.
The big problem is his look. Just everything about him. Sitting under the little wood tray with the fancy food in front of him and her feeding him and the little whatever you call that hat that he has on that is trying to be stylish.
You and I called it the French Foreign Legion hat?
He's trying too hard.
I think a guy that complains as much as he does about, being suffocated in the public limelight finds a way to be doing embarrassing kind of things in the public limelight.
No, but the problem is he can, no matter where he goes, someone's going to snap a picture.
Wouldn't you just walk?
What do you mean no? Then camp out in front of the apartment.
Remember those pictures of him at a restaurant in Boston sitting right in front of the window making out with her?
Right.
You're sitting right in front of a freaking window.
If he was complaining about that because they're taking a picture of him sitting in the window, then I say, I understand Tom's point. But he's always like in her lap making out with her, feeding her grapes, carrying her stupid bag.
To get the story, she was feeding him.
Don't do these things if you don't want to be filmed
later.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I see what you're saying, but my God, he can't do anything in public without having it
photographed. Poor Tom.
Well, it's tough.
Aww.
You know?
As I've said in the past, and will continue to say,
this is the business we've chosen.
If he doesn't like it, go buy a farm in Montana and live there, and no one will bother him.
If you were a famous person,
brew coffee like
Drew.
Yes.
How many times would you have been caught on camera,
canoodling
with Nikki?
I don't know. I don't do that. So
exactly.
I thought he was going to say, "Well, it wouldn't be Nikki."
No, but I thought you were going to say how many times you'd be caught doing something embarrassing. Well, I don't know because I'm not always on guard, and I do a lot of embarrassing things.
I was going to say,
chances are, my point is, if
you're complaining about, not being able to do anything, because you can't go out. Then don't go out, and then not only just go out, but you give them a reason to shoot you.
I know, but they're shooting everything. So
right,
no
and,
matter,
if, it was, and if it was just every kind of shot that was getting published in papers, I would say, I understand what Tom's point is.
Right, like
the guy,
if he's carrying
the guy's walking
groceries,
down the street.
That video of groceries, he's getting groceries. That's fine.
The guy's
but
walking down the street.
This is grape feeding in front of while making out at the pool in some resort.
But
he does things
I didn't see people doing when I was on my honeymoon.
But
here's, I'll bet what happened. He had his tray of food. She had her tray. He ordered food. She ordered food. They're eating. She says, this is really good. Taste this. She puts it in his mouth, and the picture gets snapped. It's not like she was feeding him grapes.
Taste this.
But hasn't your wife ever done that to you? Here, taste this. This is really good.
Never once.
Never once?
Never once.
Oh, please. My wife does it all the time. I say, no, I don't want
and
it.
And then he said, here, put this in your mouth?
She might... The food, Paul.
Eric reliving the weekend. That's why he couldn't come in yesterday.
Fred,
you weren't in yesterday either.
You
see this guy take a shot over the top of the backboard last night?
Hold on, what?
The Brady t-shirts they're making in Pittsburgh.
What are they making?
It's a picture. I'll try to find it for you. It's a picture of Giselle and Brady, and it says, Tom, enjoy your ring. We'll enjoy ours. Go Steelers.
Oh, nice. Well done.
Wow.
Who wrote that?
Yeah,
I hate the Steelers. You wonder why I don't like these teams, and that's why.
I don't wonder why you don't like the Steelers. I don't like them either.
Another thing, too, to remind Patriots fans, these Steeler fans are the same ones who started the Bernard Parlett
fan
club.
Yep.
So if you want to root for someone in the Super Bowl, root for the Cardinals. That's they may have laid down when they came.
Frauds.
Hey, I'll root for the Cardinals.
They helped the Patriots win by 40 points.
You know,
root for the Cardinals.
Worry about your own team.
Exactly.
They can't help thinking about us. That's good. We're in their head. Mm-hmm. Next year, when we come back, this year, I should say.
Yeah. So wait a minute.
All will be fine in 2009.
Everything's fine in 2009.
A Steelers fan had something?
They made a
T-shirt.
What's that have to do with the Steelers, the Patriots being in the Steelers' heads?
Because the Steelers and their fans are one and the same, Paul.
Okay. Wait a minute.
A team is a reflection of its fans.
Oh, okay. Well, that you better hope that ain't
true. I'll keep that in mind when you read the next email. Let's see where this one goes.
Let's see. Just to finish up. I know, 2G. I know there's somebody on
Fred's,
the phone.
Fred's on edge.
I just got to finish the email here. You know, the guy was nice enough to buy us lunch. All his efforts, you know, I know he made the effort. John says, Tuesday someone wrote in saying there was an ESPN podcast about football, and the podcast was not as professional as PFW in Progress. I love the PFW in Progress show, but more professional? So I listened to it. One guy has a lisp. The other guy is more annoying version of Colin Cowherd. Repeats everything five times in a row. Who's Colin Cowherd?
He's on ESPN.
Exactly.
I have to agree with the other writer. ESPN should can their show and syndicate yours.
I agree.
So should we start a petition or something?
How can we make this happen?
Internet petition, if we can get 100,000 votes
one
or whatever.
After another. They cloned them.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
That's when I
Paul
told you the other day
about
was my
the, Fox
the
reporters.
Fox News Channel. I'm telling you, there's one after another blonde bombshell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shannon Bream.
God bless him.
Sid Bream's wife.
Okay, 2G, on the phone right now is Chris with the TIAN. Christian, how you doing?
All right, what's happening?
What's up, Christian?
What's up, Christian?
Nothing much. I just wanted to comment on the whole Brady thing you guys were talking about.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, it gets kind of annoying after a while, you know, like her feeding him and all that. And I mean, it's puppy love pretty much. I mean, even though he's been with her for, I don't know.
Even though he's not 13.
A couple years or
right.
whatever. Yeah,
he's
30-something,
and they've been together for like 2 years now. Shouldn't that phase be over?
Yeah. Oh, it should. Yeah. I mean, he's my favorite player. No bigger fan than me. But, yeah, it does get kind of annoying after a while. You know, I mean, that's.
Well,
you know, it looked like it was a private area, and you know, the pictures were taken. Obviously, he didn't know he was being photographed. But still, I mean, like you said, you're in public, and, you know, you are 30-something. So, I mean, that kind of, you know, I don't want to say it bothered me, but it's just like, enough's enough. But
look, I'm telling you, all that happened was she said, oh, this is good. Here, try this.
Well, how about,
the photo nose-to-nose
in
the pool?
How about when he's in the pool and he can't keep his hands off her?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I mean,
that goes back to my theory that they're not having sex, because the only time you can't keep your hands off a girl is when you're trying to get in her pants. Once you're in her pants, you know you're going to get in her pants again, and you don't have to worry about it all the time.
Please.
That's my theory. Like, they are not having sex.
I got to agree with my big-headed friend.
Wow.
He learned his lesson the last time, and they're not anything. And that's why they're so, like... It's early on in the relationship. You know how, well, Eric,
but it's
you
like
can
four
pretend
years
how it
in.
Is.
There was the San Diego playoff game was like...
A long time ago.
Was that 06? It's like 3 years
six,
in.
Yeah.
That's
no sex.
Well, I just wanted to chime in on the Super Bowl. Go Cardinals.
You got that right.
The shirt was the last straw for me.
Good
I
man.
Hate them anyways.
Good
they
man.
Can't get over the fact that we beat them twice in the championship game at their place. They'll never get over that. I don't care how many Super Bowls they were in. They're still sick. They were 15-1. We came in and we smoked them, 41-27.
Yep.
And we treated the burger like a burger.
That's right.
So they're sick. But, I mean, that being said, that's pathetic. They're in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's the last thing they should be doing,
yep.
you know,
Absolutely.
Making a shirt like that. So,
you got that right.
As much as I, you know, like we said, the Cardinals laid down when they came here and stuff, I hope they win. I really do.
All right.
Good man.
Forget it.
Okay, Christian, thank you for calling. Christian with a...
I hate Pittsburgh. I couldn't agree with more with you guys. No. I hate this. For some reason, I like Roethlisberger.
I'll have my jersey on.
I like Roethlisberger, and I really do. I think he's very underrated still. I think people still think he's a stiff.
All kidding aside.
Like, people like Eric.
All kidding aside, their fans are good fans. They stick
but
with that team.
But they're obnoxious.
Through thick and thin.
And ours
but
aren't?
I hate them. But I hate them.
Yeah.
Who's this guy
okay.
now, number three with the Steelers on TV right
Reed.
Now?
Jeff Reed.
What's with that hair? What an idiot.
Fred's got reason number 6,421.
Their fans might be loyal and
they're
solid fans, but they're obnoxious.
And they're stupid.
That's the only place that we ever – can you think about this? Think about all the trips that we've gone on, right? Yeah. We've played in a lot of big games in a lot of different cities, right? That's the only place we've ever gone where the fans are there to taunt us when we get into the hotel.
Well,
Pittsburgh.
The big story, one of the early games that we went to. This is a long. I think Parcells was the coach, and we're on the bus, and we're going through this gauntlet of blue, of black and gold. And Gil Santos looks out and goes, "Wow, there's a lot of Bruins fans here."
Can I ask?
all right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
He works for Sporting News because the Sporting News has learned that Albert Breer once played football.
How many times does he have to say
excuse me, Sporting
what?
News?
Oh, for crying
sorry.
Out loud.
I only said half the word. Of course, the first half is the worst half. Ing is okay.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we cut that break short to break in to announce this breaking news. The Patriots
seven breaks
are announcing that they have hired Floyd Reiss as senior football advisor. I'll repeat that. The Patriots have hired Floyd Reiss as senior football advisor. Nick Caserio will manage the daily personnel department operations. New England Patriots have hired Floyd Reiss as senior football advisor. Reiss, whose 30-plus years of NFL experience have included a wide range of responsibilities in football operations, will be involved with various football-related assignments, including contracts. Caserio, as director of player personnel, will manage the daily operations of the personnel department, continuing to work closely with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick on all personnel matters. Quote, we consider ourselves fortunate to have the opportunity to add someone with Floyd Reiss's NFL experience and expertise to our staff, said Patriots chairman and CEO Robert Kraft. Floyd will be a tremendous asset serving Coach Belichick in an advisory role. Says Belichick, Floyd and I go back a long way, practically to the beginning for both of us. He has handled as much as one person can possibly handle in this league, and to a certain extent, so has Nick. In Nick and Floyd, we have two outstanding men who each bring a wealth of knowledge and flexibility to this organization. I look forward to joining with both of them and working toward the common goal of our team's improvement and success. So I'm sure
that's one big step.
Yeah.
That's one big step to filling in the puzzle of all these vacancies. Floyd Reiss. Bill goes back a long way with Floyd Reiss.
Yeah, I remember I talked to him for the coaching tree feature because they were in that. I think it
Detroit.
Was
Detroit.
Was it Detroit?
I'm almost positive it was Detroit.
Where they were all together with Jerry Glanville and the Cars and that whole story. But
on Fasano's staff there,
Rick Fasano, I believe. And he was very glowing about Bill and the things he took from Bill and how they learned together. Now, the one thing I would say, his reputation is a little different from Belichick's. If you remember, the Titans were one of those teams that seemed to promote or believe in the windows, NFL windows, and you spend money for 3 or 4 years, and then you have that year when you're going to have to eat the dead money and have a 3-win season in order to restock, adjust the books and start over. Yeah. And we know that is 100% opposite of Bill Belichick's theory of,
agreed,
every year we're competing for a championship, everybody's kind of even, spread out, top to bottom roster, all that. So that's the one thing that I think is really interesting about this. Even though he's a Bill guy, some of his philosophies or enacting those philosophies have been very different.
I think you're absolutely right, Andy, but I do think that there's a couple of things at work. Number one, I think that it seems that the league has sort of figured out that Bill was ahead of the curve,
right,
and right about this, because I don't see that very often happening with anybody. But also, two, the expanding salary cap, even if you didn't have the Bill philosophy, has allowed you to get away with that.
Right.
Sort of credit card mentality of pushing it off and pushing it off without ever really having to pay the piper, because you know, it's going up to 123 and change next year. You can afford these guys. Look, the Patriots are thinking, you know, probably right now that there's a strong possibility if they want, they could keep Castle and Brady. That was unheard of 3 or 4 years ago. You couldn't do
it. Right.
You couldn't have, you know, almost $30 million in cap space for two guys, one of which isn't going to play.
Right.
Couldn't do that.
And we were talking earlier about whether, you know, going into scouting or coaching and the overlap between the two. Reese is one of those guys who was a coach for most of his career and then made the jump into the executive office as being, you know, an assistant general manager, then an executive VP, GM, and all that stuff. So he's one of those guys who has that, what Paul said earlier, that rare quality of being able to coach and to evaluate talent.
Well, quickly, why don't you run down, you know, you don't have to go back to when he was UCLA coach in mm-hmm. the 70s, but his NFL experience, why don't you run down what
yep.
that was?
Started out in 75 as strength and conditioning coach with the Lions, was there for 3 years, then went to San Fran, did the same job there. 79, joined the Vikings. I believe that was Bud Grant's team at that
point.
Oh,
yeah.
Linebacker special teams coach, moved up to defensive coordinator after a few years, then went back down to coach linebackers in 85. Following year went to Houston, where he was coaching linebackers for four seasons, and then became their assistant general manager while they were still the Houston Oilers. And
that's
then,
strange.
In 94 to 2000, they sort of made that transition from Houston to Tennessee, and he made the move with them and was their executive VP slash general manager. And then from 2001 to 06, when they were the Titans, he kept that title and added director of football operations. So he's
he coached for a long time before going to the personnel department. I think that's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very different.
But kind of falls in line with Bill's whole thing, the ability to do both, see both, know both, what a coach is looking for, you know, how to get that type of player, all of that.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Yes.
Real quick before you get to your next point, Andy. On Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio has been absolutely barbecuing Floyd Reese for the last 2 months because of his perceived notion that Reese has been sort of openly campaigning for all of the open GM jobs.
Yeah.
I will guarantee that will stop.
Okay.
He will not be taking any more shots at Floyd Reese now that he's with the Patriots.
We should recap that. What's his exact title? Yeah. Floyd Reese has been hired as
Senior Football Advisor.
I find that interesting. I don't know what it means.
I know you think that Florio is pro-Patriot, but he
very
certainly
so.
Gets us into enough trouble.
Yeah, he's anti-us.
Right. I don't know.
Which is wrong, because if he ever listened to our show, he'd know we're him.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
I didn't say he was pro-Patriot.
Well, I he takes shots at the Patriots
he's
just as much as anyone.
Pro-Belichick. And pro-Pioli.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, okay. Anyway.
There's a difference there.
By the way, the Steelers, not only are they're idiotic. I've got a picture of the T-shirt, and it's got, you know, you enjoying your ring, Tom. We'll enjoy ours. Go Steelers. But the picture is him and Bridget Moynihan. Okay, so it is.
Tackling behind the glass you hear.
Juju loves that. Unbelievable. They don't even know the girlfriend. So...
Right, that's Isn't Giselle.
It? That's Giselle.
It's Bridget Moynihan from one of the ring ceremonies.
I'm looking from behind. It looks like Giselle, but I can't see the picture.
Right, you've seen Giselle from behind? Hey, now.
Good for you, Paul.
You've seen one, you've seen them all.
Eric's seen Brady from behind.
I think I've seen this picture recently. It's Giselle.
Really?
Yeah.
That ruins
it. Goes on.
Let me see.
Oh, it's definitely Giselle. Brady's got the slick back hair. That picture was in the paper very recently.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
You just poo-pooed on Fred's
party. Oh, you're
party.
Right. No, you sure about that?
Yeah,
yes.
Positive. Yes. That was in the paper.
That was in the
recently.
Paper a couple of, maybe last
maybe
week.
I think it was last week.
No. I have no problem with that. They should hate him.
Hey, did you see that Rodney
Harrison?
I
don't
Harrison...
have any problem with them hating him. I mean, that's aren't we supposed to hate everybody? We hate,
no, but,
we hate okay. Peyton Manning.
Not
no
even
reason.
Just,
08 is over.
Before you
08
get to Rodney
over.
Harrison, the other half of the release
oh,
is
sure.
Nick Cassero is Director of Player Personnel.
That seems like his job is really kind of unchanged.
Yeah, I was going to say
did not
that,
get promoted.
That's pretty much
like.
The same thing.
No, I think he did, because the person who was in charge of the day-to-day personnel was Scott Pioli. Now it's Nick
his
Cassero.
Title is unchanged,
but his duties are changed.
So he's overseeing all of personnel.
Yeah, he's overseeing the day-to-day personnel.
So is this
operation.
To lead me to believe Floyd Reese is not going to be like in the building and
no,
doing
he's
stuff?
An advisor.
So he's not really an employee; he's a consultant.
He's listed, you know, under his coaching capsule, they list 2009 Patriots senior football advisor.
Senior football advisor.
But you can be an advisor and be in the building working full time, or you can be an advisor who's living at home, and when Bill has a question or wants your opinion on something, he consults with you. Is he a consultant?
I think he's going to be here because one of the things that he's going to be involved in is contracts. You really have to be here for that.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
So my understanding, the way I read that, is Nick Caserio's job didn't change.
Well,
I mean, his title definitely didn't change. He was the director of player personnel.
Yeah, but we'll manage.
Last year. But it doesn't say in his bio exactly what his duties were last year. I'm just reading real quick. Named director of player personnel on February 21st after serving in a number of roles over the last 7 years. It's more or less a recap of his resume.
Well, forget about that.
But it doesn't say exactly specifically what his duties were as the player personnel director.
Let's go back to 2008, okay? I'm going to read something. You tell me who you think that is, all right? Will manage the daily operations of the personnel department, continuing to work closely with Patriots coach Bill Belichick on all personnel matters.
Yeah, I would say that's Scott.
That's Scott Pioli.
Right. I would say that's Scott.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's still somebody who moved in ahead of him on the depth chart.
I don't know if ahead of him. It's an adjunct. It's not really – it's
Mike,
a new
– Maybe the way this feels to me is the new guy was brought in, and the new guy doesn't know the system exactly. So the guy who's staying is maybe running more meetings. But the bottom line is, in the past, we believed that on personnel matters, Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli butted heads or paired up opinions.
And
I now think Floyd Reese and Bill Belichick butt heads or pair up opinions.
And here's where I think you're right in that I don't think Nick Caserio has the expertise on contracts yet. How could you?
Right.
Right.
And Pioli didn't have that when he first started either. Mm-hmm. He built into that. Remember Jack Mueller was here, and over time – you know, Pioli took more and more of those contracts, and at the end, I think Mueller was just doing rookie stuff, and Scott was doing the heavier contracts. Nick can't do that right away. I mean, those are elaborate, complex documents.
And now more than ever.
And completely different from what he's used to doing.
How about this as a comparison? Tell me if I'm way off. Maybe this is something similar to what Bill has been doing with his offensive coordinator.
I was going to make that exact point.
This is the guy, but he's not quite sure the guy's ready yet.
Ready.
Yep.
And that, in your specific, I think, probably nails it.
Yeah, but
play
you're right.
Contract.
He doesn't bring anybody in. I mean, there's the difference.
Like, no, but he can, well, but he has to.
Fossil has not been brought in as a consultant
exactly,
on offense.
Exactly, but he can't.
Because Bill can do
he
that.
He can do it himself with coaching.
No, I know.
He can't do it
with this.
I know.
That's a good,
but
he can't
good
do
analogy.
It in player personnel. He had to bring somebody
My
in to help
My point would
him.
Be, I don't think Nick Caserio's calling the plays.
No.
Like Josh McDaniels was calling the plays.
No. Well,
I think when it comes down to a bottom line, I think Reese is still ahead of him as an advisor.
See, I'm wondering if Reese is there to help him with some of the paperwork and contractual stuff. But Nick is the guy who is going to butt heads, to use your terminology.
So you think when it comes down to it, once it's all been pared down and they've done their regional scouts, area scouts, that it's Caserio Belichick or Reese Caserio Belichick?
I think it's three of them.
Yeah,
I think it's
too.
Three.
So the bottom
I don't
line
know, but
comes
the best
down to
part
three.
Is we'll never know.
Right. That's why it's the best talk
yeah, I don't
topic
know.
There is.
Yeah. But I would guess the idea is.
Or is it Belichick above Reese and Caserio that are on the same line?
I guess this, you know. I guess this
I think that's what it probably is. Is Belichick is still the guy, and now it's Reese and Caserio instead of just Pioli.
In the past, was it Belichick well above Pioli, or was Pioli close? I mean, are these two filling Pioli?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yes.
These two are equal to one Scott Pioli.
Exactly.
And I think Reese
accurate.
Is filling Scott's role as the paper guy that Fred talked about, and Caserio is filling Scott's role as the scout guy.
Yep.
Yep.
And heading the department.
Well, yeah. I certainly think in terms of that, Nick is running it because he's been here. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes the most sense. But I'm talking more about decision, power of opinion, authority.
I think it's Bill.
Carrying
I
weight.
Think it's always been.
No, I know. Well,
it
I
sounds,
agree.
It
I think
like
it's
it.
Always
but,
been.
But I know
but
what
in theory,
saying.
It worked best because Pioli was able to argue it.
At the end of the day, I think Pioli probably had more influence on Bill than Nick does right now today.
Right, but did Pioli have it in 2001?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely
so
not.
So Caserio is Pioli circa 2001 then.
Yeah.
I think what Paul said is
with a side of Reese.
Is probably
get it,
the
Reese.
I think that's probably the most logical conclusion you can draw. This is a lot like the offensive coordinator thing / QB coach. There's a grooming period that needs to take place. for a certain area.
And you can't afford to have Bill spreading himself thin. He can't do both.
And that, you know, kind of worried about the spread too thin thing, that would really be a – if he felt like that, if he felt in the back of his mind – Casario's my guy. I'm not quite sure he's ready for that, though. That would be a bad
sign. We don't want Bill Belichick negotiating contracts.
But I'm not really thinking about this from a Patriots perspective. From a Patriots perspective,
looking for talent.
I think it's fine. My question is, what was sold to Floyd Reese? Why is he here? What does he think he's doing?
Maybe he's here both as a friend.
Is he Dom Capers? Is he here for 1 year? They needed help or whatever.
Yeah,
a respected
couple.
Guy.
Yeah. I think.
Or is he here for the next 5 years of Bill's tenure to be
I would be surprised with that. Okay.
That's kind of what I was getting to.
I think that he is probably a one or two and done.
Yeah, because then why not, if he was going to be here for long term,
just make him the GM.
Right. That's kind of why I'm asking. Why all these little hoops and titles?
Or whatever the official title that Scott had, VP of Player Personnel.
But I like this move.
I do too.
This is a good move.
I think it's a good move.
I think, you know, it answers a lot of questions we had about where Casario is at this point in his development. I think it's clear that, you know, he's not quite there yet to be a, you know, the guy that Pioli was, and that's natural. I mean, how could you? Pioli wasn't that when he first started. So.
Also shows you the influence we have on this show. At the start of the show, we were saying, boy, you know, they haven't made any announcement yet. We don't know what's going on. Within an hour of the show starting,
they heard us.
They heard us.
We got to get an announcement.
They're right. Let's get an announcement out there.
This is the way they usually do it.
Yeah, I remember distinctly. They always walk in the door and hand us information and say, here, go talk about this.
Well, we have to thank Casey O'Connell for making the trip all the way down here and, you know, getting us the info. So... What's that about? No? All right. So that's big news, and we broke it here on PFW in Progress. So
man,
it was worth...
probably be our last news that we
thanks to Loose Lips Kirsch over here.
It's worth listening to.
You know
to
those guys in San Francisco that spent like 8 months in prison because they wouldn't reveal their source? 30 seconds later, Fred's name and names.
It's a press release.
What's that? Prison?
Yeah. I don't see a name anywhere on there. Do you?
We
what are you talking about?
To say it was a press release.
Oh. All right. Anyway, I don't know. I'm handed a press release. I read it.
And start telling who gave it to you.
Okay.
Why?
So that's big news.
At this point, it might be all right because wasn't 1:30 the
original
hour?
Yeah, I think we're kind of all right, but it leads to we'd like this to happen again.
Right.
Let's see. Josh in Arlington says, Brady and Giselle have done nothing wrong. If you don't find your wife with her legs wrapped around you while in the pool, nose to nose, almost every time you get in the pool, you might want to take a long, hard look at your marriage.
I would pry her off me.
The pool is a fun and romantic place. You have got your wife in a swimsuit, hopefully less, and your wife has you in yours. Come on. I'd say you guys are due for a midlife crisis, but most of you are well beyond midlife.
I couldn't disagree more with that entire email. And I'm not well beyond midlife.
Just
so you know,
if you're alone,
yeah, if you have your own pool, if you're in your backyard doing that, I'm okay with that.
And you know what?
Okay, stop. Keep those trees up. The neighbors have asked.
But if I'm being all upset about it, about my lack of privacy, I'm not acting like that.
Right.
And Brady has been very upset about his lack of privacy. So stop behaving like a human being.
Wow.
Then you don't have to worry about it.
Paul, he's like Mr. Puritan.
He's like a 13-year-old. He can't keep his hands off his girlfriend.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Well, back in Victorian England with Paul Perillo.
Well, I mean, I'm with Andy. I'm sorry.
Sir Paul of Peabody.
We'll just start calling him Prude Perillo.
I mean, you ask my wife. I make sure she has her track shoes on. She's running away from me so
wow. Holy Max, she doesn't run fast, though.
I'm now uncomfortable.
No, my point is, I don't think you need to have your hands all over your wife at all times when you're out in public. I don't think that means you're in love.
Okay.
And maybe that makes me an old, you know, whatever, past my midlife
crisis.
No
one likes it.
But I don't think that
PDAs, you ever read those little stupid things in yearbooks and people say, like, biggest pet peeve is PDAs, people that, like, make out
in
the hallway.
It makes everyone
uncomfortable. They don't like it in high school. Yeah, they don't like it at age 30.
It makes everyone uncomfortable.
I don't even like pregnant women out in public.
Oh, my God. It makes everyone uncomfortable.
What are your thoughts on breastfeeding?
Keep your hands
I don't like
keep
that
your
either.
Hands off your wife when you're in public. I mean, it's just disrespectful.
Well, then stop sucking teeth.
What? Let's see. Paul in New Jersey writes in, the Baltimore Sun is reporting rumors that Chris McCallister may be a salary cap casualty this offseason. Do you guys think he could be a player that the Pats target in free agency should he get released?
I think he's going to get released, but I think he's done, according to people in Baltimore.
Okay.
Plus, he's old.
So, yes, I think he'd be a target for the Patriots.
Is he like a 9-year veteran? Something like that,
yeah.
And
he would be the perfect Patriot.
Well, I disagree. I think next time he's the perfect beta. Right now, he still has name recognition.
Someone will give him big money.
Daniel Snyder will give him the deal. They then cut him, and the Patriots swoop in to get 1 year at the very end of his career out of him.
Yeah, I just think the guys that are
contract too early.
Kind of like Fernando Bryant almost did last year.
Except Chris McAllister, at one point, was considered the best corner in the game or one of the top two corners in the game.
John, South Carolina, sends us an update email. He says he missed the first half of the show. He hopes the lunch was okay.
Great.
I ordered it
John.
Online. If the order was messed up, it must have been two genders' fault.
Exactly. It was.
Is Brady the Steelers' Manning? Meaning, do the Steelers fan throw the same hate at Brady that the Patriots throw at Manning? Is it more or less deserved? That being said, stop picking on Brady. You're hating on him because you ain't him. Hear, hear, John.
I would never want to be him.
Well, are you kidding me?
I don't hate Brady, and I don't hate Manning. And I guess that makes me a non-fan.
Well,
you are. I guess you're supposed to just hate.
You have to take sides.
I take sides. I hate the Steelers.
Okay. But you're
Fred's on board with that.
I hate the Steelers. Okay. I hate the Jets. I hate the Dolphins, and I hate the Raiders.
You got to be a player hater.
Those are the four teams
that
I hate.
You got to be a player hater. You can't just hate.
Why you got to be a player hater?
You can't just hate. You know, abstracts. You got to hate personal people.
Okay, then Joey Porter would have filled
Bill Polian.
Yeah,
what?
Like Bill Polian.
Bill Polian
certainly fits fits there. Joey Porter would fit for both Pittsburgh and Miami.
But everybody hates Joey Porter. Well,
I don't hate. Sorry.
A lot of the players
I don't hate anybody.
Sound like they don't.
But that's my point.
You know what I mean by hate. Not really hate.
That's my point. Why would you
hate
Tom Brady?
What? I like him. He's my quarterback.
No, I'm saying if you were a fan of another team, why would you hate Tom Brady?
Because he's really good and he beats us all the time and he's got that thing in his chin.
But that's
and
it.
He thinks he's great and he goes out with that girl.
He's coming a little too easily. Look out, Tom, when you're on another team.
I apologize. I didn't realize it would be that easy.
Trust me,
for you,
if I was on the Steelers, I could find a million reasons to hate Tom Brady because I'm a fan of the Steelers and I hate the Patriots.
My point is Tom Brady publicly, most part, has handled himself with nothing but class.
Who?
Tom Brady.
So, of course he has.
So if I'm a Steelers fan or a Colts fan, yes, I don't like the fact that he beats me all the time, but I don't necessarily hate
I'd find game. Things, believe me.
Very easily, apparently.
Believe me.
A list of 20 just rolled off your tongue.
Do any of you guys have a humidifier in your house? You use that during the winter?
I have a
dehumidifier.
No, a humidifier.
A humidifier, no. I haven't used it, no. But I do have one.
We use it occasionally.
Is it a good one?
No.
No? Does it work?
Yeah, I guess.
Like use it in the bedroom at night?
Yeah, a small room of working. Yeah.
But I've been told that they're not great. Unless it's ridiculously dry, they breed or they promote the growth of dust mites or something, the moisture because it's not natural and blah, blah, blah.
Huh. Okay.
He reads too much.
He reads headlines.
About nonsensical things.
No. Somebody told the doctor told us that.
All right.
Because we were pretty sure the doctor told us to put a humidifier in Jackson's room. And then when we said something, she goes, you should take that out of his room. And we're like,
okay.
What?
You playing the role of Fred Kirsch and covering all bases.
Yeah, well, it's what doctors do. Put Glenn the Ordway. Bumpers on. Take the bumpers off. They can have a bumper. They can't have a bumper. They'll choke. SIDS.
Josh says, Andy is just pissed off about Brady because he's not allowed in most pools because of his bowel issues. That's true.
I'm pissed off about Brady because he's acting like a 13-year-old boy who hasn't gotten any.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not pissed off about it, but I just think that for a guy who complains as much as he does about being suffocated in the public limelight, he can't keep his hands off his girlfriend.
Conduct unbecoming a star.
Let's see.
Suspended.
But what about the photog aspect of this? I realize it's
well those
it's
people,
their job or
those
whatever.
Those people are lower than pond scum, the paparazzi that chases these people around all day.
Like, somebody had to know that he was going to Mexico. Like, some editor somewhere, one of these magazines or websites or whatever, and had to find out that he was going to Mexico, and they sent somebody there or they hired a freelancer or whatever they did. They got somebody to go follow him around.
Maybe somebody at the hotel just took it.
Yeah, see, my
it could have been anyone.
My view of that is
everybody's
that
took it and made
these paparazzi people are all over the place, and they I mean, I bet you this guy is probably stays at this resort, and next week some other entertainment schmo will be there, and he's taking pictures of him.
Or he
and
stays
the next
in
week,
Mexico somewhere,
that's what
and he's got a source at every resort that says, you know who booked it, you know, who just checked in is so-and-so.
And that's what they do, and that's how they make a living. I mean, obviously, they're predominantly in L.A., you know, around Hollywood, and, you know, probably to a lesser extent in New York.
Right.
It's more of a social problem because everybody watches it, buys it, and talks about it.
Right.
I mean, you watch.
If no one cared. They wouldn't sell the pictures.
Do you ever watch the TMZ show?
Not the show.
The TV show itself.
Just the stuff on the web.
Maura O'Brien in our graphics department swears by it.
It's great, but I mean, that's all they do. They don't.
It's like
they don't know that someone's going to be there. Like, hey,
it's ridiculous.
I happen to be walking through the airport, and who's there? George Clooney going through security, and they, you know, they.
Well,
they have a story.
That Blagojevich guy, you know, the governor of Illinois. He was on The View yesterday, yes. And all the TV shows had clips of it. Mm-hmm. CNN had clips of it.
Yep.
And then they're laughing at, you know, him doing the rounds. Oh, by the way, he's going to be on CNN tonight.
Larry King.
So, you know, yeah, I don't know if it's Larry King or
I don't know who
Casey
was,
Campbell or whatever her name is.
This is Larry King.
You know, but
tonight,
but it's just like
hour.
Oh, the No Bull Girl?
What?
The No Bull Girl?
Yeah, what is her name?
I forget.
Campbell, Courtney Campbell or
Campbell Brown?
Campbell Brown.
She's not.
There
good.
You go. Okay, let's see. This is Lorero Garcia Alexander writes in. He's a first-time emailer and he loves the show. He's originally from Connecticut but moved to Georgia a couple years ago. Can't listen live at
Wouldn't
work, but I always download it the next day and listen in. A couple points. One, Golden Corral is a buffet place. They're actually really good, but haven't seen any wedge salads there. It's not too bad. $10 a person. It's all you can eat, Paul. Two, I definitely was
a
little...
Did you throw that in or the Luero?
Oh, you would have been better if the emailer put it in.
Two, I definitely was a little sad that the Pats didn't make the playoffs, but it was a good season overall, and I was really impressed with the team and all the adversity that they overcame. Three, how about this? Castle punted in the game in Buffalo during the last game of the season. Can we franchise him as a punter?
I like it. Yes. That's the kind of outside-the-box thinking that we need. Floyd
go.
Reese, you should be listening to
because
that.
Because the top five average punter is like, what, $20? Something like that? Four, can't wait for the season to start, and hopefully we can fill some holes in the draft and free agency. That's all I got. Keep up the great work and go Zona.
Another quick recap. Floyd Reese has been hired as senior advisor.
Yes.
Sir, somebody.
Senior football advisor.
Of something.
Senior football advisor.
Floyd Reese will be helping out the Patriots this year.
I think that's great.
It is.
Franchise him as a punter.
Oh.
Yeah, that too.
I don't think that's legal.
No. But it's still good thinking.
Couldn't you franchise him as a backup quarterback? I mean, that's what he was. He started the season as a backup quarterback, so we'll give him the top five average salary of all backup quarterbacks. Right?
Sure. But that's not a position.
I'm just saying.
A couple of quick
Take
notes about the Super
about
Bowl,
million.
Fred.
Todd Collins,
to keep people
right?
interested, at halftime, not only will Bill Belichick be part of the broadcast, or it might even be pregame, but at halftime,
pre-game,
apparently, he did something with Chris Collinsworth.
Right, he sat
of NBC,
down,
sat down,
down
to,
and he was here at the
scenes.
Stadium. Chris Collinsworth was here at the stadium doing that with him on Friday, I
Last
think,
week
or Thursday.
Sometime, yeah.
Thursday or Friday.
Now, apparently, Rodney Harrison is going to be part of the whole Super Bowl broadcast deal,
right.
too. He's going to be part of the pregame show talking about what else? Last year's Super Bowl and the David Tyree thing and all that. But
I call him a whore, but, I mean, he's just apparently taking any media job that offers. We should get him
well, maybe he's,
I wonder if that's
maybe
what
he's sort of lining
do.
Things
oh, yeah.
up.
Oh,
but, you know?
No, that officiating thing went out the window.
What announcement he was going to make to all the press in New England?
He gave he a very very vague very soon.
Yeah, and that means
probably after the Super Bowl. Maybe.
Do you want me to call him?
He hasn't returned.
Yeah, you should call him, Paul.
I don't think,
the book
what's
coming?
Up, Paul Perillo? I don't think my number is still good for
how's
him.
How's the book
coming? But I will check.
Not good?
I don't think Rodney has any interest in writing a book with me.
No?
I would imagine he could do a lot better than me.
I think
Jim Trotter or someone.
You don't underestimate yourself. Okay. Let's see. Paul writes
that one obviously didn't get the memo. It was dark hair.
Yeah.
She's very pretty.
Still very pretty.
Fox. Now I know why.
That's why they
call
it Fox. With an extra X.
Paul from London writes in.
Hey, Paul.
Just a couple questions today. I can't listen live as I'm at a soccer match. First one
I
want to open to everyone listening live. Is there... If there was a draft of every player in the NFL, but you could keep 10 of them, which 10 players would you keep and why? My 10 in order of importance are Brady, Moss, Welker, Mayo, Mankins, Wilfork, Merriweather, A.D., Guskowski, and Falk. The first 9 were certainties, but I was stuck on number 10 and considered Hobbs, Light, Seymour, Guyton, and Morris. But Falk is vital on punt returns, screens, rushes, which just pushed him ahead of Hobbs for his returning. Secondly, which team are you looking forward to seeing next year? And Fred can't say the Jets. Which team are you looking forward to playing most next year?
Tampa Bay, because the game is in London.
Okay. There you go. All right.
Really do suck up
Denver.
To the fans, huh?
I'll
no,
say
I want to go
Jets.
To London.
Oh, Denver. Yeah. Denver's a good one.
I'm really anxious to see Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll probably be a primetime game.
I misunderstood that question. I thought it was
10 players to keep.
But I thought it was the whole league, and that's why I was
laughing. Is the London game considered prime time, even though it's during the afternoon? It's prime time there.
Prime time there.
It's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock here.
I know, but does that count?
Who cares? What does it matter?
I don't think so.
I want to know because you're only allowed to have, what, six primetime games?
So that could get you out of one.
Oh, that might. That might get you.
Let's see. On the phone right now is, who is it, Steve from New Hampshire? Steve from New Hampshire.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. <What's>
up, Steve.
Hey, first off, I mean, you know, I'll keep the call short because apparently some people, you know, have the need to call up and feel like, you know, to comment on the show, even though apparently they don't understand that you guys are just volunteering your time for us. So we get what we get. You guys are who we thought you were.
That's right.
And the one thing I was surprised, and I was going to call you Thursday, last Thursday, when Rex Ryan had his comments at his press conference, and I figured you'd be all over this, Fred, was he's mentioning, you know, oh, you know, the White House, oh, we expect to be there in a couple of years, and we expect to be the most physical team in the NFL next year, and anybody who wants to try to slap us around, we're going to slap them around.
Well, he's an ass.
And I'm like going, oh, this is awesome. And I figured you'd be all over that. I don't know why you weren't.
That's what I'm looking for out of my coach. I don't know how you
guys feel. I don't know. You should check that out because he had a lot of comments to say.
How many days did Robert Kraft own the team when he said, I bought the team to bring a championship to New England?
That's our goal. He didn't talk about slapping people around.
Yeah.
But you know, the comment that he made that drew everybody's ire was that he didn't need to go to the inauguration because he would be meeting Obama in a couple of years. That's what he said.
Well, that's crazy.
He's talking about winning the Super Bowl. That's what Robert Kraft said.
Good for him.
That's what I want out of my leadership.
Good for him, yeah.
That's just my opinion. Okay. I don't want a coach who's not interested in winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I think they all are.
And the other thing is, I don't know if you guys heard Rodney's comments about the Steelers.
No.
Rodney was on
the
NFL
Network
about
the Patriots, yeah.
And, they asked comparisons between the Patriots and the Steelers, and he was all heads up about it, real cool about it, you know, comparing them, saying they're both great teams, that, you know, there's no big guy, you know, we work together, et cetera, et cetera. And then they asked another thing about the Steelers, and, you know, and he just went, well, first of all, I hate the Steelers. So I thought that was cool. He just flat out said it. I got a kick out of that. And and now I forget what the other thing I was going to. Oh, I know what it was. Eric's kick with a contest with Gostkowski.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you guys should definitely make that a big.
We'll make it a big
for all of us.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And something that we can come down to. I don't know where it's going to be done, et cetera, and all that.
Yeah,
and
the details are still being ironed.
I don't know if we'll be able to have.
We'll see if we can get
down,
video
we'll
on
get
the
it
website.
Up on the web. That's for sure. Yeah. Maybe do it live. Who knows?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Do it live.
Put us all fans together for one reason. And we can either totally abuse Eric, or he can shut us all up for once.
We'll do it live.
The latter will happen.
I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. See you, Steve.
Steve from New Hampshire.
You guys be good.
All right. That's great.
Two gender plays like the whole clip. It's like, this guy sucks.
He's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Let's see. Who's this right now? Josh.
From who's on the phone? Steve from New Hampshire.
Steve from New Hampshire. Yes.
Sawyer from Waterloo writes in. First, I was going to say that Fred was the only one we really missed, but not Andy. But then Andy utters one word, hand, and he has proven his worth. I think that was the last show. You said something about.
Yes, said something. Yes, I remember what it was. We don't need to revisit it. Continue reading the email.
Second, I just wanted to tell Anthony from Naples that people reminiscing about their lives may not be the best radio, but neither is people not listening live when calling up and saying, what are you guys talking about? Thanks a lot. Now all of us that are listening can now wait for our gracious host to fill you in on the phone. But an iPod and email in I think he says buy an iPod and email in the show next time like the rest of us. About the Brady interview.
Get off Anthony. He's one of our favorite listeners. He sent us many gifts.
Talk about the Brady interview from last week on the Toronto Sports Radio. If it was done in Boston, would anyone ask why he was doing the interview there? The question is why in Toronto gets everyone to seek out the answer why, which is Myomet. And then he talks to about Golden Corral. You guys, you hear about it all over, but you can never really find it. Sounds like Eric's girlfriend. And last, Paul described the possibility of the uncapped year as disastrous. Can you elaborate on why it would be disastrous? Wouldn't it be similar to baseball and an owner willing to spend money on his team like Kraft get higher-priced players? Why would it be disastrous?
Maybe disastrous is too strong of a word, but I don't necessarily think it would be a great thing.
Well, it's not the way they have it structured. It's not a good thing for either the players or management. You know, there's kind of what you call poison pills in there that make it bad for both sides. You know, for example, if you were a four-year veteran, once you get to the uncapped year, all of a sudden you're not a free agent
right.
anymore.
You have to wait six years.
On the other side, if you're a team, and you know, there's things that hurt the teams. You know, not just you know. So
plus, you're never going to get it back. Is the threat as well.
And they've put things into this uncapped year that they hope will force both sides to the table because they don't want to have to deal with these provisions. So we'll see. See what happens.
Yeah, I mean, disastrous is wrong. I mean, if they had no salary cap, I don't think it would be disastrous for the NFL. But I think that the fact that you have a system that's been in place for so long, I think is really going to hurt some teams, some owners that would suddenly be forced. I think that a lot of teams actually would drop payroll and they would become irrelevant.
It's going to affect the way a lot of teams do business.
Oh, the rule of eight is what you were looking for.
The rule of eight?
Isn't that it? With the final eight teams, they can't sign free agents unless they lose free agents.
That's one of the
all
rules.
Those the,
one, one
the,
for one.
The title game finalist
right.
is one of the,
yep.
the poison
that's right.
pill, quote unquote.
That's right. That's right.
So if your team is good, you're kind of a bystander and waiting until something happens, and then you can kind of replace that slot.
Right.
It would change the entire landscape.
It would change a lot. It would still
you'd
be
think of everything differently.
Andy makes this point all the time. It still would be
a good one.
The teams that have the smartest people and the coaches that know what they're doing would still succeed under any
right.
system.
No matter what the system is, they'll adapt and they'll figure
out
how
just
to
like,
deal with
it. It's just like in baseball, you know, and I know that, Fred, you always criticize me because I like baseball, but I know that a lot of it is a little tongue-in-cheek, too. They don't have a situation in baseball where just the teams that spend money are the only ones that win.
Right.
And it's been proven out over the last 10 years. They haven't had a ton of repeat winners. In baseball, there have been a lot of different champions over the past 10 years. There's been parity in baseball. They've had something like six new playoff teams last year or five new playoff teams. I mean, Tampa Bay.
A lot of small market playoff teams.
You know, Tampa Bay showed you could do it. Florida has shown in the past you can do it.
Minnesota has been
a playoff team. Oakland has been a playoff team. Yeah, Red Sox and Yankees have been playoff teams. They have the most money. The Dodgers. Sometimes they're a playoff team like last year. Sometimes they're not. I mean, if you're smart at what you're doing and putting together a good organization, you will succeed.
It's just easier to be smart if you have an
if you
a
have
financial
money. No
advantage.
Question. It's easier to be Theo Epstein than it is to be Billy Bean.
Right.
There's no question about that.
The margin for error, as players said
right.
when Brady went down, is
right.
is
you
less.
You got to hit it. You got to kind of hit all of them.
But I do think it would hurt
small,
the league.
But it happens
because I think
it's been in place for so long.
Well, but also, I mean, you would get some of these teams. Cincinnati. How is Cincinnati going to react to
their payroll would drop?
We're still collecting the money, but I can do whatever I want, which means they're not going to be competitive. So
I agree.
There's an issue there. There's going to be some sort of an issue.
And
or,
that's probably what I meant by disastrous. I think some teams would do exactly what Andy said and just drop by the wayside. They wouldn't compete.
Now, again, this would, but it would play itself out because once the TV contract ended, when they're negotiating that, the owners might be saying, we're not sharing the wealth. We're not going to all spread around equally anymore
yeah.
because you're not playing the same game we are.
And believe it or not, I believe an uncapped year – ultimately, in the long would hurt teams like the Patriots because, you know, we are always at the top, you know, competitive wise because we work the system best. But if it came to the point where somebody, you know, I'm saying Jerry Jones, for example, just went out and just started doing some mad spending.
Daniel Snyder.
The Patriots could not compete with that. It's not like Robert Kraft
right.
has a lot of unused cash. He's a billionaire in his assets, but not. You know, not like that. And I don't think he could go out and just spend mad money like that.
How concerned are you with the upcoming CBA negotiations about potential labor strife, which we haven't had in the league for a long time?
You know, I've said it before. I just don't think that, you know, the wild card is the fact that the NFLPA doesn't have a leader right now. And they're trying quickly to find who that leader is. You know, now if it's a guy like Troy Vincent.
Well, they're final. I think he's one of the finalists.
Yeah, he's one of the finalists. If it's a guy like Troy Vincent, I worry about that. Because if you could, you know, if he comes in there with this hard stand, it's not going to work. You know, I think they have to realize that they've got a good thing. They're the best league in the world, the most profitable. You know, that's good for everybody. We got to figure out a way to work this out.
So you know, it's going to come down, you think, to who they choose as the
I think so.
successor to
yeah,
Upshaw?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I think they got to figure out a way to deal with the
the top half of that first round contracts.
I think that's going to be on the table, and obviously the NFLPA won't want it to be on the table.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying
unless
it.
You but can,
some
yeah.
do. I mean,
some,
there's yeah. A faction of players that is not happy. That's, you know, the proven veterans, right. You know, the Kevin Mawai types who have never gotten their $60 million. Mm-hmm. They never had their big deal. And it'll be interesting to see how much that group grows, you know, how more much more vocal that group becomes.
You know, you even look at, you know, baseball with the ridiculous money that they make and, you know, like these $180 million contracts for like Mark Teixeira and stuff. But at least before you can make that silly money, you have to wait 6 years before you become a free agent.
You
have to prove that
it.
you make that. You know, Kevin Youkilis and Jonathan Papelbon have been two of the Red Sox better players over the last 2 or 3, 4 years. They're still going through arbitration. They make good money, don't get me wrong, but they can't get to free agency where they can make the
right.
real money of their sport until they
trouble is baseball's going the other way. The contracts at the top part of the first round have been rising over the years towards more guaranteed money, towards multi-million dollar deals for guys who may never,
but
you know, at least NFL players will step on the field. You're guaranteed Jamarcus Russell. There's a chance you sign some high school pitcher, mm-hmm. and he never plays for your organization, and you pay him $8 million, $10 million.
But you think about Jonathan Papelbon and all he's done for the Red Sox since 2005 when he came up. He makes, what, $5
million? Right.
Or $6 million.
6.2, I think.
I think it's $6 million. And think about Jamarcus Russell,
right?
You know, has 30 whatever in his pocket,
but
without having
there's Brian Taylors of the world, the guys that made multi millions as high draft picks. That's my point.
But there's not many.
I feel like every other sport
of them.
Is using foot. Like each sport wants to pull what they like out of the other sports and go towards it. Whereas the other sports, which they're you know they're all kind of picking off each other, and the players want the most obviously on this end, and they well this sport does it. Why can't we do that? Where the owners will say the opposite.
But I'm just like in baseball, the guy, you know, Craig Hansen was a guy who got, you know,
$5 million bucks.
You know,
or something.
I thought he got $4 million as a signing bonus, but that still pales in comparison to $35 million.
Right.
That,
no,
the,
I know.
At the top half of the
this
you know,
is
the
only, I mean, this is a relatively new trend in baseball over the last decade plus, where these numbers have been increasing. Scott Boras is part of the reason for it, and certain factors, but they're going in the wrong direction. I mean, it won't be long where the top pick's getting. You know, $20 million contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that will happen. I don't think it will, but maybe it will.
I do, because the value of those picks have gone up now.
I think there's too many teams that wouldn't pay that, so I don't think there's going to be as much of a demand. Because that happens,
will be
that happens in baseball.
There always will be a couple that will, and that's another problem with baseball. The fact that the draft is manipulated very dramatically by teams being able to spend.
I'm not saying baseball's not
and
without
And if that gets
problems,
into football, I don't like that either. If the Kansas City Chiefs can't draft player X that they want because they won't be able to sign him.
I think that's
I don't
happening
like that.
Right now.
With
think
what?
Teams pass up guys right now that they don't think they can sign. I mean, how many times do you hear Belichick saying, I don't, you know, not Belichick saying, but people saying
right.
that Belichick doesn't necessarily want those picks because of that.
I think you're right.
No, but that's just a financial issue because it's a slot.
Right.
I'm talking about because the team. It's not an even playing field. It's an even playing field now. If you own the third pick in the draft, you add 7% to last year, and you know about what you're going to be paying.
Yeah, and I think
you might
teams
not like
trying
the
to get
system.
Out of that.
Right.
Because they
in baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates cannot sign a guy. They don't have the and a guy slides, and the Yankees pick him at number 14 when he's really the third best player in the draft, right? And they sign him because they have
Absolutely.
The financial resources to do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't like that system either. I want the third best player going
but
to the third worst
team. I don't
want
a system either where a team has the third pick and they don't want it because they can't afford it. And they do everything in their power to get out of it.
Right.
You know, like last year, they were falling all over themselves to try to trade, and no one wanted the picks.
Right.
Right.
Part of that has to do with the draft as well, though. I think a lot of if the players are great, I think even a small market franchise will say, we'll take him. You know what I mean? If it's
Sure. Sure.
If it's considered a can't-miss prospect, they know they're going to pay him at some point, so they'll take him.
All right. Steve on the Cape writes in, and it's a message for
Bet
Dan.
You he could get an internship.
It's a message for Tucci, but I'll read it anyway because it's very humorous, I think. He says to Tucci, unfortunately, I miss most of Thursday's show. I usually listen live, but the part I did hear, those humps you work with, except Fred, were giving you grief over the Urban Dictionary word you picked, so I thought I'd give you a suggestion. How about one, upper decker? Is the act of defecating in the upper tank of a toilet When the next poor, unsuspecting person flushes the toilet, they get a bowl of beef stew. The upper decker is a weapon of terror and should only be used on people who deserve it, as in, this year the office Christmas party was held at Dustin's house. Dustin is an insufferable Yankee and Jet fan. He was talking trash and going on and on about how it was going to be an all-New York Super Bowl this year and kept talking smack about how the Jets were better than the Patriots. Then he started making a play for my girlfriend. So after my fifth burrito and seventh Budweiser, I decided to make my move, literally. I snuck into his master bathroom and left him an upper decker. So I like that.
I like the long story.
Yes,
a...
but
the
like upper, it really
that's
happened
tough,
to him.
Though. You
I
have
like
to really
it.
Get up there yes. for the upper decker.
Well, you'd stand,
you
on,
stand
the
on the...
Yeah, what
know,
if you lost
the
your
lid down and
footing?
That sounds like something that would happen to you, Fred.
How high is the toilet?
Well, you got to get above it. You got to, you know...
You just
put
take
your
the
feet on the
off,
lid.
No?
Yeah, you take the...
Yeah, but it's still... It would be... It's hard to do from the ground, I would think.
You're not doing
you'd have to
the...
be on something.
No, you have to stand on
you
the
stand
toilet.
On the, right. You put the lid down.
Yeah.
Some of those lids now are very cheap.
And it's only this wide, so you're
right.
not going to get a wide stance as
exactly.
Fred likes to get.
See, it's not as easy as you think.
Do you have a wide stance, Fred?
Well, of course I do.
Do you tap toes?
Do you tap?
Do I tap toes? What does that mean?
That was the politician
the
from Minnesota.
I am
not
Idaho.
Gay.
Oh.
Idaho.
I'm not gay.
Oh, he was in Minnesota.
I've never been gay.
Speaking of that, Matt from Connecticut
sounds
has proof that Eric is.
Gay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Since why do you have to do
Carmani?
This, Fred?
I was falling behind in the podcast, and I unfortunately picked last Tuesday's show to try and catch up. However, one thing did catch my attention. A caller called and was talking about strip clubs and stuff, but instead of saying strip clubs, he said gentlemen's club. Eric responded by saying, I like how you put it that way in reference to a gentleman's club. This is obviously a Freudian slip by Eric since he prefers men. By the way, you are right about Eric. He is a great asset to the team with an emphasis on ass. Oh.
See, why are you
not...
talking about his ass?
Oh, you see, now that's not right.
Sounds like he's the gay one.
And also, what my question is, when do you expect a trade involving Castle to happen? Would you expect it to be on draft day or after?
Before.
I would think so. Paul and I talked about this. I think
sooner
rather than later.
Yeah, I think
for all parties involved.
Yeah. Because, you know, here's the thing. If they wait till after draft day, then the Patriots can't get this year a draft pick.
And the team that
that's
may,
very good, Fred.
Yeah.
The team that may want the quarterback may have drafted a quarterback or mm-hmm. thought about drafting a quarterback. So, yeah, I think sooner rather
whoever
than later.
Drafts Stafford and Sanchez would obviously be out of the mix. Yep.
And for the Patriots, you want as many teams in the mix to get.
Plus, they want to try to free up as much money as they can if
yeah,
they want to
the
make
thing.
A splash.
You
in
want
free
that
agency.
$14 million to spend on a linebacker, a corner, whatever you want to sign.
Josh has not given up on defending Tom Brady today. He says you can tell from the crappy quality of the photos that they were taken from a long way away in a tree somewhere. He is probably in a private area. Do you see anyone else in the pictures? No, you don't, as a matter of fact. So someone could have been spying.
Well, I generally
assume they are.
Well, but then he thought he was privately doing things, Paul.
He's outside.
And it's not private.
If you want to
it's
be private, go
place.
Inside.
It may be an exclusive place that's like 10 grand a night, and that generally cuts down on the large numbers. You don't see like crazy people dancing in the background, but I
but
doubt
the
very much.
You don't
the
usually get other
there.
People in the background of this shot.
Right. Keep it in your bedroom.
And your pants.
See,
and
the problem is it's stuck in his pants, and they're not making it to the bedroom, and that's why we get all this.
He's really stuck on that part, isn't he?
He's stuck on this
be.
For a year or so.
He tends to be. He gets
no
upset.
One who's having sex has this much PDA.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut says, Fred, don't let them get you down about living on the Cape. During the summer, we townies had to work while big-headed, lacrosse stick-wielding preppies like Andy visited and drove their parents' BMWs.
You're not preppy,
I got your
you?
Back, Fred.
Are you a preppy?
None of those things are accurate about, well, except for the big head, but.
Yeah.
Lacrosse, no.
Preppy, no.
No.
Yeah, you are.
Beamer or whatever he said, no.
No.
My 1990 Hyundai XL does not qualify as a Beamer.
On to football. Your linebacking position review prompts a quick draft question.
Okay.
With a lot of draft boards having the path to pick a linebacker in the first or second round, how necessary would that be considering Thomas returns and the Pats will have a couple of semi-rookies in Crable and Rude? I'd rather see the Pats focus on the defensive backfield early and look for a pass rusher on day two.
Well, I'm not sure they're semi-rookies. They never stepped on the field, so they're still
rookies.
And Bo Rude is, to me, just a
sixth-round pick.
A guy. Mm. If you think he's playing defense, then maybe he will, but I think You know, I'd be surprised. Long, 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 long odds.
I also, and we've gotten a lot of SPFWs, a lot of feedback, kind of pointing the finger at the pass rush, which I don't think the pass rush was great by any means last year, but I don't think it was anywhere near the list of problems that the Patriots' defense had last year.
It's part of the problem. It's not.
I think that they had all they could do to not give up 350 yards every game, and they devoted all their resources to trying to do that. I don't think that. Look, I think if they could cover, they would have had a lot more pressure on the passer. I think there were more games like that Miami game here with the Wildcat where Chad Pennington's taking a step and a half drop and the ball's out and bang, there's no one anywhere near the receiver. Then there were guys dropping back seven steps, surveying the field for 10 minutes and then finding an open guy. I don't think the pressure was a big part of the problem. I think the fact that they don't have anybody that can cover was.
I thought we got a good, I think, SPFW, an email about Mike Vrabel, who obviously had a huge drop-off, did not have a good year, whether it was shoulder-related or not, whether he got old overnight or not. You know my whole theory about inside linebacker, wasting guys that can make plays at inside linebacker?
Right.
Well, if they stop having the ability to make plays,
why not?
Well, now I'm comfortable putting him back at inside linebacker, where can he be a solid inside linebacker for the next 2 or 3 years rather than a disappointing, aging outside rusher at outside linebacker? You know what I mean? Like, could you squeeze a few years, you know, kind of maybe slide in behind Teddy Bruschi in that role of guys that skills are deteriorating, just stay in there, do your job, make some tackles, and we'll go get a younger edge rusher somewhere?
Well, maybe, but is in this draft, doesn't it look like there might be a guy who's at least comparable to the level of a Mayo, who might be a little bit younger, more athletic, could run around a little bit better, and maybe...
Sure.
Maybe try to get him to be your next inside linebacker and maybe...
But my question would be, if I have Mayo, who I think is a runaround playmaker inside for the next decade,
right?
Can I use my two first-round picks if I get an extra first-round pick or whatever? Mm-hmm. Should I be targeting high in the draft now an outside linebacker? I got my Mayo for inside, get my guy for the outside, move Vrabel inside.
Unless you think you've got... the next Mayo at inside, who, you know, like a Laurinaitis or a Cushing or.
But my point would be, do I need two of them in there? Or do I have a star and a guy next to him, and I need to find my young, decade long star on the outside?
I think that question will be answered with what they do in free agency. If they go after one of those guys in free agency who's a pass rush specialist, if they get him, then I think that's your answer. Then they'll try to look inside. If they don't, then maybe they'll try to look for an outside.
I'm not sure
guy.
They have enough money to do that.
Yeah, I don't either. But
Thomas, I'm talking about getting a guy at the 20. They have the 23 right now.
23. Mm-hmm.
If you have more, maybe you can trade. I mean, do you get a guy, even if you have to trade up 16, some guy slides who you think is an edge rusher? I mean, we forget, but like DeMarcus Ware and Sean Merriman were like 12, 13 or right in the. You're not talking about only getting these guys top five.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys have been available early in the second 10 tier there somewhere. If you can, and that you get out of the money there. Now you're getting into more palatable contracts.
I'll tell you, there's a guy, and
an edge rusher
I don't know
there.
Much Ooh. About him. There's an outside linebacker from Virginia that is slated to go, I think Scouts Inc. had him at like 24 or 20, somewhere in the 20s. And the reason it caught my eye is Al Groh.
Obviously.
With the Virginia connection in the 3-4. And as an outside linebacker, you know, I think he was about 265, 260 pounds. He's a guy who... doesn't necessarily, you don't have to sit there and say, can he make that switch? He's playing it.
Right.
So maybe Bill would have, you know, a good background with a guy like that. To answer your question about Vrabel,
legs.
It was only like a kind of a shoulder, head and
shoulder
shot.
That'd be part of my little question is, if you think Vrabel is that guy, I mean, then okay, you have him. But
yeah,
I don't
see Vrabel. You said the way you posed the question for the next 2 or 3 years. I think if you moved Vrabel inside, you'd have no chance of getting 2 or 3 years out of him. I think he'd play one and
too much
be
of
it.
A beating.
But,
well,
no,
I don't think he wants any part of playing inside.
I agree. I think,
he'd
pack it in. He'd pull an Edger and James.
And they he's a free agent. He's
quit.
A free agent after next year, right? After 09, I believe his contract is up. I don't think you'd have any chance of resigning him.
I think he might quit
him.
Either way.
You might lose him anyway.
We'll call it retirement.
All right, we'll close with Kamani's email about Tom Brady. Says, you guys sound like a bunch of jilted, jealous ex-girlfriends when you go off about Brady. When you reach a certain level of celebrity, these are the things that you do. You have the smoking hot women. You get the photos taken. Normal scrubs like you guys couldn't possibly imagine that type of lifestyle. Here. That's going to be.
And Kamani knows from experience.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you on Thursday
Andy.
If Eric gets in from the snow.